Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yes, we're a Premier League legend!
And he's already had a wee spillage, wasn't he? Pepsi Lennon.
I know. Don't look, just get the top half up, the bottom half's not good.
Let's come all the way down the train. Stand up, let's see the trousers. Oh, come on, show you.
Look at that, look.
Come all the way down the train, had a napkin on, everything's covered, clean. Can't turn up dirty this. 2 seconds before we're going on, I'm wearing a Coca-Cola. So you get the Coca-Cola
mate,
in there.
It's because of that thing.
And the finger's not in good shape, is it?
Is that for, what was that for?
Watch this, look, when you do this, you're trying to...
Oh my God, man! Oh!
The good thing is, if you're in an argument or a fight, you go, don't you ever fucking speak to me like that? I knew to her like that. Who's he pointing at? Is he pointing at me or is he pointing at you?
That wasn't even done goalkeeper down in the bedroom, was it?
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started.
Whose arse has that been? Mate, not just saying this, I told you off camera. When I was a wee guy, I used to go in goals. I used to be Shea Given, wee guy in Dundee. Mate, what a keeper.
Dundee, is that where you're from?
Fae Dundee, uh-huh.
Like Dundee?
I hated Newcastle as well, mate, but I just always quite like...
City of Discovery, Dundee, you know?
That's it, mate.
Tell you what, it's famous, isn't it?
I think it was always because he was so
Adams
cute.
Charlie Adams from there, wasn't he?
Charlie Adams, uh-huh. Because he was so cute, wasn't he?
Oh, I just remember playing at Dundee, actually, the reserves at Celtic.
Oh, did you go to Dundee?
The stadium's literally a car park apart, aren't you, from Dundee United, Tannadice and...
Aye, right beside Dennis each other, right?
My dad does things in that car park. I don't know if you've...
Does she?
Hangs a boot, doesn't she?
Is it? Is this for over 18s?
Is it? But mate, Premier League legend, man.
Oh, mate, I think, without a doubt, the biggest we've had on.
I always say this, I've told you this, I tell my wee boy, if you're ever a goalkeeper, I'm never coming to watch you play.
Why?
Oh, I've just done a... It's a straight...
Somebody's got to be in goal, hasn't he?
So that's the question. That's my first question. Did you straight away as a kid go, I want to be a...
No,
you're
in the garden.
Field.
No. Calm down. Let me speak. In the garden, I've got 4 brothers who used to be like batter balls at me, something used to be flying. My dad was a goalkeeper. But then I was outfield as well from my school. I was top goal scorer from my school. And I got to about 14. My dad goes, you have to concentrate on being a goalkeeper or a striker. And he said, I think you've got a better chance as a goalkeeper. He was a goalkeeper, so he'd give me like tips and stuff and used to go
so
watch him play.
So that late on, 14?
Yeah, 14, 15, yeah. So what at school, like if we needed a goal, they put me out of the field, and if we wanted like to sew it up or keep a clean sheet, they put me in goal.
Were you just playing like with a local boys club team?
Just a local Lifford Celtic team, junior team, and then my school team, St. Columbus College, so we played both of them, yeah.
And then what age were you then when teams like started to recognise you outside
well,
of Ireland?
About 15 when I went this, we went on this mad run with the FAI Junior Cup with Lifford Celtic, so I played in the men's team at 15. And then... We got to the semi-finals. There were like nearly 400 clubs in Ireland. We got to the semi-final. We're only a small village town, like, you know. So then some scouts come to watch and went from there.
You see that we were playing. Do you think that's helped you, your career that you played with men such a...
Probably did, yeah. Definitely helped because a lot of kids now go through the academies and they play underage stuff and then they play 19s and they play 23s. Yeah. And there's no real pressure. There's certain pressure, but there's no, like, you know, pressure of points and stuff. I went out in loan when I was 18 and stuff, you know, to Swindon and different places, so...
Did you go to Swindon, huh?
Yeah.
I see senior picture in
first,
the tunnel, eh?
My first club was Swindon as a lone E player, like, you know, but it was important that I went out and got that experience and what it meant to, I don't know, like the tea ladies and the kit men and all, you know, their livelihoods at stake, not underage football, whereas all we'll go in again next week. Like, that meant a lot to it. And Steve McMahon was a manager. He was a player manager at the time. So.
Steve McMahon, who's like a Liverpool legend.
Yeah,
what was he like? He was
solid even then, like, you know, but he showed great faith. I was only 18. Like, he showed great faith. He put me in goals. Like,
more importantly, where did you go for a night out in Swindon, the spot?
Swindon? Did you go Swindon?
He played there for 4 years.
Oh, see, I was only there for 4 weeks.
That level
nah, he's fine.
I think I just stayed in the hotel. Do you remember Peter Thorne? Remember him?
Thorny, no?
Nah.
He was top goal scorer for Swindon. You didn't do your history in Swindon,
nah,
did you?
No, I didn't care. Not interested in that. Right, Celtic came in for you when you were young.
Yeah.
So you're obviously a Celtic fan growing up?
Yeah, a massive Celtic fan. I mean, from Donegal, obviously, Paddy Bonner, and there's massive Celtic supporter clubs in Donegal and stuff, you know, so...
Would you ever go over to Celtic Park as a kid?
Not as a kid, no.
Right, so you weren't that big a fan then?
Well, because we had no money, probably more than anything else. Makes you want me to swim across the sea, but... No, I mean, it actually came, there's loads of clubs in England and Celtic's one of the clubs. And then it basically came down to two clubs. And then it was Man United or Glasgow Celtic. And I think Schmeichel had just joined a year or two before, Peter Schmeichel, that is. And, you know, my dad was in the best opportunity because I think Paddy Bonner was 33, 34, maybe 35 even. So it was like, best chance of getting in the first team as quick as possible is to go to Celtic. And obviously the connections with Ireland, Liam Brady was the manager. So it was a big opportunity to go there, yeah.
Is that who spoke to you, Liam Brady?
Yeah. What happened, they had a pre-season trip in Dublin, actually. The first team this was, so I went up to Dublin to train with them. They had a look at me and stuff, and I was actually staying in the hotel with all the first team players.
What first team players were there at the time?
Well, I can't remember John Collins, Charlie Nicholls, obviously Paddy Bonner,
John Collins,
Gordon Marshall. Ripped.
He is, isn't he?
I think he's still ripped.
he is ripped.
He eats lettuce for a full Sunday roast. That's it, man. He's ripped, honestly. I can't believe it.
Did you go and train with the first team?
Yeah, I trained with the first team in Dublin. Like,
wow,
you know,
that's amazing for a young kid, isn't it?
I stayed like in the, you know, same quarter with the first team and all the, you know, shenanigans, tricks, playing tricks and stuff. But it was just an eye-opener for me. And they gave me like training kit to take home. And it was, obviously they wanted me to sign, so they gave me all the gear and stuff, you know. But yeah, I was delighted to go to Glasgow, yeah.
And then you moved over to Glasgow?
Yeah, at 16 I went to Glasgow, yeah, so...
So did you sign a contract?
Yeah, signed a two-year contract.
Two-year contract, right.
Apprentice at Celtic, so... I was trying to tell my son to get, like, the bus the other day to school. He has to walk down the road, like, and he slept in. I had to get him a bloody taxi, because I had a... Anyway, long story. But I was a Celtic, I stayed in Dennis to start, where you talk about Dennis, but I moved out to Bishop Briggs. I had to get two buses, to get a bus on the Hull Street, and then wait for another bus out to Parkhead, like, you know, but...
What was that in Digshay? So were you with a family?
Yeah, so it was a family out in Bishop Briggs, yeah, so...
Was it you and another boy? Or just
me and Nigel Melly, actually, a guy from Derry, so it was good to be with him, because he was a little bit similar boat as me. He's a wee bit older, but he was a little bit homesick and missing the people back at home and stuff, you know, so it was good for helping me settle in, definitely.
But with the Denison one, that's the top 10 best places now to stay in Europe.
That is, mate, you're right.
Was that the same in Europe?
You need to check your paperwork there.
Your paperwork?
Who said that?
How was it?
Can you Google that at home? Because I'm not sure about that, right?
Was it wild?
Dennis was the first place I went to, lads, and it was carnage.
So why did you need to move it?
Just random. Just one bloke looking after eight lads in there, and it was like, food was horrendous. The looking out the window was just like scary, like at night time and stuff. Oh, my God.
That was his dad you were looking at.
My dad gets a bit there.
Does he?
Aye.
I know, because it's the best.
No, he was the one back,
oh,
in the
back
day.
Yeah, it's not a good place. But
did we just get it? We just go out and got it quite a
bit? Not when I was younger. I think the first time was the first year, so not really been out. Only when I went home or whatever. But I think it was about 17 and a half when I sort of first went out, and I got a few beers into me. First place was Bonkers. You ever been to Bonkers?
Bonkers,
I went Bonkers that night, man. I had 4 pints of snake bite, and I thought it was John Travolta on the dance floor, man. I didn't know what was happening. Anyways, the bog spewing up then about 20 minutes later, but that's my first experience of alcohol.
Was there any young kids at that team when you were there at first that went on to make it?
Simon Donnelly was there, and Stuart Kerr, he was the goalkeeper.
Oh, the goalie,
I remember, just a year above us or whatever. Who else would have been there? I'm trying to think. Some other lads went to different clubs perhaps, but not at Celtic maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. See, with the... How hard is it for you as a young kid to leave Ireland and come here at such a young age?
Well, it was really difficult the first year, especially. I wanted to be home, my family, obviously, my friends. And it's kind of the bigger picture at 16, you don't really see it. You just want to be with your mates.
So what made you, what ended up making
just
you
stay? Family and stuff, and just say stick it in. Yeah. You know, it's a chance of a lifetime and might never get this chance again. And where I'm from in Donegal, I don't know if you know it, but it's in the middle of nowhere in the northwest of Ireland, like, you know, so it's done well even somebody seeing me up there, you know. So it's like a real opportunity that I couldn't throw away, you know.
Were you training with the first team when you were that young?
So yeah, 15, 16, I went over. Then we were sort of, it was mad in the days because every club now has got a goalkeeping coach or whatever, but we had Joe Corrigan, if you remember Joe Corrigan, played for Man City, and he used to come on a Thursday and train all the keepers, like, so train me Gordon Marshall, Paddy, myself, Stuart Kerr. Yeah, we'd all train together, so that was pretty cool.
And what about outfield players? Would that be like Frank McAvenny, John Collins, Paul McStay?
Yeah, Charlie Nicholls, all them, Paul McStay.
Were you tight with any of them?
See, they were all a lot older than me, you know, but I looked up to them. Like, obviously, you respected them and stuff. And remember, as an apprentice back then, you had to clean the boots and pick up all the kit and sweep. There'd be times you'd be sweeping the pitch and sweeping the stands at Parkhead. And they don't do anything now, the apprentices, like, you know. But I think it was a good grounding for us. And I think, you know, it's a shame they took that away, you know, with all the different laws and stuff. But it was usually clean, I think, package boots and somebody else's. And they would sort of give you a bit of...
Quid?
Well, very few quid, not that much. But they give you a bit of grief if they weren't clean and stuff. I think it was a bit of, like, I suppose, grounding for you and trying to keep you on your feet on the ground type stuff, you know.
When you started getting more involved with the first team, was that Lou McCarry the manager then?
Well, I didn't. Basically, I was on the bench a few times, but it was more for injuries and stuff, and more like the people were missing, and they called me up because I was on the bench once for an Old Firm game at 17.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was shitting myself.
Celtic Park, or Ibrox? Sorry, mate.
It was at Celtic Park.
That's the exact question.
Celtic Park, yeah, but it was mad because it was Christmas, New Year time, and I was back in Ireland and got the call. I think Gordon Marshall got injured or something, and I don't know, Stuart Kerr, I don't know where, he must have been injured as well, whatever. So they said, you need to come over, like, but come back over again. So I was a bit gutted to leave the family, but at the same time, thinking, oh, you're going to be on the bench, like, so at an Old Firm game. So I was, like, sitting there looking around, thinking, wowzer, this is unreal. Like,
and was there any time in the game where it looked like you could be going on, or nah?
Well, every time the ball's in the box, you know, you're thinking, this could be the moment, I suppose, you know, but ended up losing the game. So I was, I think Mark Hattie might have got a hat-trick or something.
Did your family come over?
They didn't know. No, they didn't come over. No, they were just all like, I think back then, like, obviously, there was no social media. There wasn't much on the TV. It was probably more radio than anything, you know, listening on the radio and stuff than TVs. That's how old I am, lads. So you're only young pups, you used to.
No, you're looking great, though, eh?
Huh? Yeah,
you're looking great, mate.
Just remains working good.
You coming in London once tonight?
What time are you at?
This man's got a few things lined up.
Is he?
Uh-huh.
Tommy Coyne lookalike. What?
Is it?
Tommy Coyne. Thank
you, Tommy Coyne.
Was he Tommy Coyne in Celtic when you were
there? He was there when I was there, yeah.
What was he like, that guy?
I'm fucking take a second tick when I come through the door, is it? Hi, Tommy. What?
See, on that first team squad, who was good with it? Was there anyone that?
Nah, they were all good. They were all good. I remember once Charlie Nicholls were doing sit ups and stuff in the gym, and like, no, I was only young and stuff, and I wasn't breathing. My head was like a beetroot.
What, you were doing sit ups?
Yeah, no, we're all doing it together, like, as a group. Like, he's looking over my head like a beach. He goes, fucking hell, lad. You can breathe if you want, you know. I didn't know what I was doing, like.
Then the first day, lost feeling after.
Yeah, no, yeah, trying to impress, like, my head.
But see, that, with that time, was it hard at the club? Because if my memory serves me right, was a lot of financial trouble.
Yeah, the club was in a mess, if I'm being honest. It was, like, the average gate was probably 17,000, 18,000, like, and you know, the stadium wasn't developed. Like, the jungle was the old jungle and all that stuff, you know, so. Wow. Yeah, I mean, Fergus McCann came in and took it over, and I was left after, you know, the stadium was built and all that kind of stuff. But
who was your youth team coach and reserve coach?
Really? Good question now, lad.
Tommy
Craig was there. Tommy Craig was
there. Tommy Craig, right?
My one, Frank.
Oh, Frank Connor?
He's off his head.
He's off his nut.
Yeah.
Did he go mad at you?
Yeah, a few times.
Because he was a goalie, wasn't he?
He was a goalie, yeah. He used to speak, he'd be like shitting yourself every time he spoke, like the angriest voice ever, didn't he?
Mate, see if we ever need, he was away for the club, but I was a young boy at Celtic. See if we ever needed a rocket, Tommy would bring Frank Connor in and he would just like annihilate you.
What was it? Was he working at Celtic?
Nah, but he was Tommy's mate. Tommy Burns would just bring him in and he would like talk to you about what it means to play for Celtic, but he was proper.
Yeah, Ashley Grimes was there as well as a coach, I remember him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Was it good coaching?
Yeah, I mean, the coaching's changed a lot, I think, since I played. Like, we were obviously told to keep the ball in the net and take it as far up the pitch away from your goal as possible. You know, the game's moved on so much since then, but. It was still amazing. Like, I was training full time. I didn't train at home at all. First full time training was when we went to Celtic, basically. So, big difference, huh? Big change.
Mate, I can't believe this. I found this out the day. Was Brad Friedel in trial at Celtic? I think, was he there when you were there?
Yeah, there was a picture actually of us all.
Mate, that picture was used to be in Barrowfield. Because I was going to say, when we were young kids, like, people used to speak, say we let go Shea Given and Brad Friedel. Well, not let go, but had Shea Given and Brad Friedel.
Yeah.
So, did you leave?
Well, my contract was up, a 2-year contract I said before, and then Lou McCarry offered it. There was four or five, maybe six of us he wanted to keep on, and he offers us all the same contract. And my dad says, you're not signing that.
Why not?
Because it was horrendous. Yeah. So I was like, going from an apprentice to a pro, it was like something like 20, 30 quid a week more to sign pro. So you get more play in the League of Ireland, basically, you know. And I did think like that, you know, I had sort of faith in my own ability that if I don't be at Celtic, it'll be somewhere else. Albeit I wanted to stay at Celtic, but they said, well, take that or leave it. My dad goes, all right, we're leaving then. That was as like black and white as you can get, but he was right at the time. Like, it was just, there was no like comeback to it. That was it, you know.
So Celtic fans must be sick thinking they lost it. So they gave you like 100 quid more, you'd have signed it probably.
Well, probably at that age, you know what I mean? I was like 100 quid a week as an apprentice, and they offered me 130 quid or something, or 150 quid. I had to pay half my digs or something. It was just.
Yeah. Was, Paddy Bonner was retiring that year as well.
See, so did that not a wee thing that you thought, oh, I might hang on if he's retiring?
Yeah, it was more just my dad was just, quite angry with it, really, to be honest. That's and then like we thought like, oh, that's their opening, you know, like you'd say in any negotiation, that's their opening thing, or they'll come back and offer you more. He's got, no, take it or leave it. He's got, all right then. That's a wrap.
Was Packy Bonner good with you, obviously, being Irish?
Yeah, Packy was brilliant.
From Donegal.
Brilliant, obviously, to advise me and stuff. And he could have been more generous with his old gloves, like, because he used to look at his gloves thinking, give us a pair of them, Packy, would you? He's like, you never really give me that money.
Mate,
like,
Annie never gave you any dough. He's the tightest man in the world, didn't he? Annie never gave you a tip for cleaning his boots.
I gave us a few quid, to be fair, but I was more interested in the gloves. I wanted to. I took a pair one day. I said, Packy, going to use these gloves? Sure, them gloves are ruined. I was like, oh, that'll be good for me for training. Trying to get the hint in, like, you know. He didn't pick it on.
That's the worst. And Terry Genoa was there as well. Terry's a legend, mate. What a guy.
Terry, so the end of that contract, it was actually Terry who scouted me. We had a tournament in Holland and Terry was a Blackburn at the time. So Terry scouted me for Kenny Dalglish.
Oh, so it was
him. So he went to Holland, he watched me play for Celtic and an underage team.
Right, and that was the end of my contract. And you took you to Blackburn.
Yeah, no, but Terry was at Blackburn for 3 years with me first. Right. Later, Terry went to Celtic.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So.
Oh man, I'm gutted with that, man. Can't believe we had the two of them. But then Kenny Dalglish, did he bring you to Blackburn?
Yeah, he brought me to Blackburn. I said, Kenny sent Terry out to Holland to watch me, and then signed us at Blackburn, 3 year contract at Blackburn. So.
So who speaks to you? Is it Kenny Dalglish that phones you up direct? No.
There was someone, a colleague, a friend of my dad's in Dublin who has a connection with Kenny. He called my dad and says, Kenny wants to speak to you, blah, blah, blah. And then he spoke to my dad, so, yeah.
It's big, isn't it? Serena. But I can't imagine Premier League managers now phoning, like, 16, 17-year-old kids' dads.
No.
It'd be agents, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd be through agents. Yeah. Was your dad buzzing that a guy like Kenny Dalglish was phoning him?
He was just, well, maybe he was buzzing, but he didn't let on. He just goes, oh, Kenny was on the phone. I was like, Kenny, I was like, fucking hell. Are you all right?
I know. I'd be stuck on that in the phone.
Wouldn't you?
Where did your dad work as that? I'm quite fascinated.
He was a horticulturist, which is quite a big word for, what time was it on a fucking 6 o'clock on a Wednesday? It was just basically as a potato inspector.
Right.
He was trying to give it a bit of a lift up there. But we worked like as a kid, we were like market gardening, we had a driving range, pitching pot, we had lots of different stuff. But his job was a horticulturist.
And he just,
don't ask me to
just
spell
fucking
it.
Kenny Dalglish, show that, Kenny.
Kenny was on the phone, yeah.
Oh, mate, that's, you'd be honestly stuttering all the other place, wouldn't you?
But other dads would be so like starstruck in that. Like, was your dad a massive influence throughout your whole career?
Yeah, he was, yeah. I mean, he's probably, like a lot of dads, you'd probably say, they would always, not always, but they would always go, well, what are you doing? If you made a mistake or something, it'd be more, rather than give you too much praise, like, you know. Yeah. So you're always trying to impress him, I suppose, and I suppose that's maybe his way of sort of psychologically trying to get the best out of you, you know what I mean?
So do you think dads are now too nice on their sons?
I think it's a balance, mate. I
think the kids have changed as well. Like, as I said to you before, my kid getting the bus to school is like, oh, he slept in and goes, can I get a taxi? He's like... If that was me, my dad would have me in a headlock. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. But like, you got to speak to them different. It's just the way that generations change, don't they? But it's frustrating at times, especially as a parent. Like, you just want to go, just get up and go on the bus, like, you know.
Is your kid a goalie?
He's played a little bit for Macclesfield, just his Macclesfield junior team, like, you know. But right. He's not that dedicated, you know that way. So
we're on the same, isn't
it? Wasted, aren't
he? See, back to Blackburn. Seeing that dressing room, there's a lot of fiery personalities in there. Mm. Was that quite intimidating to go into?
It's mad because I left Celtic, as I said, and the first year I was there, we won the league, we won the Premier League. I mean, I was only on the bench a few times, I didn't play, like, but...
Still a few quid, don't I?
But I was like, this is easy, this Premier League, you know, because first year here, we won the league, it's like, when Blackburn, we won the league every year, do you know what I mean? It's like, just whatever way I timed it, they won the league that year, you know, but yeah, some big characters, as you can imagine, like, obviously, I don't know, likes of Mike Newell, who, I don't know if you know, Colin Hendry, Shearer, obviously, Sutton, McKinley. Tim Sherwood was the captain. So there are a lot, you know, you look at, I don't know, like say of Arsenal, and they say there's no leaders. If you look back at that team, it was a team of leaders. Like, you know, they were all leaders in their own right, you know. So Tim Flower was the goalkeeper, brilliant at the time, playing for England. Absolutely brilliant.
Did you need to be strong mentally back then to come through a changing room like that?
I didn't really know any different, if I'm being honest. I was just like going with the flow, like, and
trying. Were you training with the first team every day at Blackburn? Yeah?
Most days, Most days. We were training with the kids as well, the underage teams as well, but... The good thing for me was to train with Tim Flowers. Like, he was a really good example for me. Like, he was a top trainer, like, and he was first out and last on the pitch and, like, really worked hard. It showed me, like, if he does that, then that's what I need to do to be the best, you know?
Did he always smell really nice?
Why?
Flowers. that is talk live. Yeah. What about Sutton when eating all
can we edit this show?
What about Sutton? How was Sutton?
Yeah, Sutton was good. Him and Billy McKinley were like, I don't know, thick as thieves. Like, they're always up to no good, like, you know. So, but no, his big personality, dry sense of humour, but he is behind all that. He likes the crack as well. You know?
No, he does not.
I don't mean the crack as in, you know, but I mean the So we were straight, like, you know what I mean?
Right in a boot now. What was Shearer like, hero?
Yeah.
Imagine being a goalie trying to save Shearer's.
I mean, that's an all good thing for me. Like, so you're coming up the likes of Shearer and training every day and stuff. So you're only going to get better. Like, you're not going to save all of them. Like, but they give you that confidence if you can obviously save shots against probably one of the best strikers in the world. And he gives you that belief that you must be doing something right.
Is he shooting ridiculous?
Yeah, very powerful. Like, it's mad when you go see forwards going through now and finesse and stuff and just passing in the corner and stuff. He goes through like one on one. He's taking the head off the keeper and everything, like, you know. And if he busts your nose, he'd be like laughing and stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
Be claret. Yeah, it's claret. I want to see claret in that. Yeah, that's what he says.
Yeah. So you were learning so much, obviously, for time for others and that. But did you feel now it was your time you wanted to play first?
Well, talk about Swindon. I went to Swindon at 18 on loan. And that was the same year they won the league. So I was desperate to play football, basically, to get out there. And I went there. Steve McMahon was the manager and he was player manager, you know. So there's a men's team again and points made a big difference rather than underage football. And so I went there for a month and they wanted me to stay longer. But then Tim Flowers got sent off. So I had to go back to Blackburn on the bench. Bobby Mims played and I was on the bench and I wanted to stay longer. But they had no other keeper. So they had to cut it short, like, you know. Mm-hmm. But see, it was a good experience.
See, with the players, do you ever remember them absolutely like lambasting you, like getting on you proper? Have you made a mistake? Do you remember anyone slotting?
Well, Blackburn, I made my debut, Premier League debut at 19 at Blackburn, and of all places, I made it at Selhurst Park against the Crazy Gang in Wimbledon.
And were they just firing crosses on
you? Well, before he even got on the pitch, the walls were vibrating with the stereo, the speaker. They must have had like the bass up full boot, and in the tunnel at Selhurst Park, I know you've been there, like, but you can hardly like get past, like, it's like nearly 1-1, like, and then Fashion and Vinnie Jones and all these, and they were shouting into this, like, effing and blinding, getting to this young keeper, he's shitting himself and all this stuff, like, you know.
Mate, I would have crumbled.
And then like Tim Sherwood, he was like obviously experienced, but he was laughing and said, I don't mind them, we're just trying to wind you up and all and stuff.
How were you? Were you all right?
I played well, actually. We lost 1-0, but it wasn't my fault for the goal or anything. But
that's when you know you're gonna have a successful career. When you came out of that tunnel and you're still.
Yeah, and I came for some crosses and stuff, and you imagine, as you said, they put the balls on top of you, they said, we'll test them and we'll put them under pressure, basically, you know. But I stood up, did well, eh?
Were you a confidence type player, or no? You always seem to be quite pretty confident.
I was and I wasn't. I think probably my worst critic is himself, and you know that can boil over. Yeah. So I think it was about 2014. I was at moved to Newcastle after Blackburn. I think I went and got a psychologist, actually a sports psychologist. Yeah, to try and help me because I was one game I actually played Blackburn away and I dropped the cross in the first 10 minutes and the guy shot and Nikos Davizos on the line, saved up his hand, sent off. So we're down to 10 men, 80 minutes away from home. We lost 5-0 or something. Like, my head was scrambled, like, you know. So
yeah.
I went and got some help after that. And thankfully, you know, I had ways of dealing with mistakes because mistakes are part of the game.
Yeah.
And especially as a goalkeeper, you have to stay focused and try and think of the next sort of participation you're going to have in the game, really.
Is that your first big mistake? Can you remember your first big mistake?
I made a lot of mistakes.
No, it's not.
No, the probably the most famous mistake was the Dion Dublin one. I don't remember that. No,
oh, you put the ball down to
go and kick it? So there was a joke after, but the thing is, no one ever tells the full story about it because it was just the start of the 6 second rule. You know, at the start of any rule, the referees are on it, like, you know what I mean. So I've come for this high cross and I've caught it. I think Dion Dublin was challenging. I didn't know anybody was challenging me. I was just in the zone. I was up that high. I didn't know who fucking Superman could have been challenging me. He wasn't getting the ball right.
Yeah.
So I've caught it, and then I'd look up the field and. And obviously Alan Shearer wasn't moving. He never moves that much, like, unless you hit him. Like, so I was like, fucking, I'll give us something, like. And then, like, I knew the ref was on me because he was giving it this, so I had the option then of to kick it or to roll it out, like, to sort of.
So you get longer, yeah.
Yeah, so when I took the high cross, Dion Dublin was challenging, but he, like, sort of, the momentum took him off the pitch and sort of semi-sat on the advertising board. And he sneaked up behind me when I put it down and scored. Like.
Oh,
and then the joke after was only Irishman not to know where Dublin is. Fucking me, obviously.
Did the manager slaughter you for it?
Oh, Kenny DeLeese, the manager.
What did he say?
Hammered me. Well, he was. I think he was at half time. He was a bit. He was kind of a bit diplomatic. Forget about it, whatever. But after the game, he gave me a bit, like, you know, didn't go mental on it. Kenny was good that way. He protected his players, like, you know. But I remember Rob Lee scoring a late equaliser. It was 2-2 the game finished, you know.
Fucking.
And he was like, I got you out of this shit today, didn't I?
See, Newcastle.
Like, about time.
See, Newcastle came in for you. Was it Kenny Dalglish, the manager, again? Was he?
Loves you, didn't he, Kenny Dalglish?
Kenny Dalglish, yeah. King Kenny.
Did you phone your dad again?
That's on fire, wasn't he? I think at the time, again, my contract was run up at Blackburn. So I was at Sunderland after. The couple of years after, I went to Sunderland for 3 months.
Under Peter Reid?
Yeah, Peter Reid.
Like,
yeah, they won the championship when we were there. We won the championship and they wanted to sign me, blah, blah, blah. But Blackburn wanted me back then as number two the following year, but I had a year left, so I went back to Blackburn. Someone wanted to sign me, they wouldn't sell me. Blackburn said they wanted these days, offered you a new contract and all this, but Tim Flowers was still really, you know, in his prime. And again, going back to the Celtic thing when I was 16, I wanted to get the team where I'd get in the first team as quick as I could, so I didn't see that as an opening.
Yeah.
So I just see my contract out at Blackburn as well, a bit like Celtic, but then I went to Newcastle and it was a tribunal at the time because it was only 21.
This guy knows 21. What he's doing, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't even a financial thing. It was more just a football thing, yeah. to get playing. Like, and then Newcastle just finished second the year before, and then Kenny obviously says, we want you to come here, like, you know, so.
No brainer.
It was absolutely brilliant to go there, you know.
Have you seen the videos of Peter Reid after games and stuff like that?
No.
He can lose his shit, can he?
Peter Reid,
but you were winning all the time, so did you not really see that side of him there?
Seen bits of it at times, yeah. He would have had a pop at a few people, like, you know, but. Again, brilliant character, really, like, brilliant manager, really, and yeah, it was good times.
Have you seen him now? He's all trending, that, with the long sideburns. Yeah.
He looks fit, doesn't he?
Looks gorgeous, doesn't he?
I wouldn't say gorgeous, like.
Did you play against Kev Kyle?
Kev Kyle, who's that?
Big fan.
Yes. Who's that?
Kev Kyle's going to take me out now, isn't he?
What? It's going to go away.
He played with Sunderland, now.
What's his name?
Kevin
Kyle. I don't know. I'm going to get killed. We edit this bit, lads. Edit this bit out, right? He's the kids. Look at you. You could text him to ring. Okay, he's a guy and got a clue.
No, wait, I'll show you. I'm seeing if you remember him. So anyway, you can go on with the next question.
Aye, so see when you went into...
He's not the producer or anything, is he? Just scrap that whole show, would you?
He's a bouncer. He's a bouncer.
Anyway, I'll get back to me, but normality for you. See when you went to Newcastle was... Shaka Hislop, how did they feel you coming in number one?
Yeah. It was mad, like, because it was obviously Shaka Hislop, Pavel Cernicek, Steve Harper, myself. And I was the youngest of the whole lot of them, you know. So Ken SA obviously signed me and he gave me the number one jersey, you know, but they have the squad numbers at the start of the year and he gave it to me, the number one jersey. And that was just, obviously started the first game of the season. It was just a special thing to put the faith in a 21-year-old to go, you're my man, like go out there and show.
Did he actually come and say that to you, you're my man?
Well, he didn't say it in that
he
many
just
words.
Like, by playing
well, by picking me and giving me the number one stuff and having brought you here, like to obviously just gain experience and get there to that level, he gave me the number one slot.
Did any of the goalkeepers come out and speak to you at all?
It's a mad one. Like they would have spoke to you. The goalkeepers always get on pretty well, like, you know, yeah. But I'm sure Shaka, and because Steve's only a year older than me, Shaka and Pavel are a bit thinking probably this guy's people. Yeah, he's coming to take our my spot, like, you know. But I suppose that's any position in any team. You know, yeah. There's always someone trying to get your spot, isn't there?
Do goalies ever argue? Because, you know, players argue amongst themselves in teams of goalies.
I've been relatively good in my career, all the people I've worked with. But you hear stories of, I think it was at Almunia and Lehman at Arsenal, they didn't speak at all, you know. So I can imagine that being a really tricky situation because there's four or five people in a group together in the corner of a pitch somewhere all the time, you know. Yeah. So
goalies are a weird bunch, aren't they?
What are you going to be?
Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah, I played with him, yeah. Against him, sorry. Didn't play with him.
No, against him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I played against him, yeah. We laughing at Tommy. Tommy Coyne, are you laughing at
him? Is he decent, Kev?
He's brilliant. Great player.
Mate, what about the big names again to the Douglas brings in? Ian Rush and Johnny Barnes.
I heard the producer
two characters.
It didn't really work though.
Did it not really work?
What? Signing Ian Rush and Johnny Barnes at that time.
They were a bit done, weren't they? I think they were coming
to the end. Yeah, it's coming to the end of the career. I think probably Kenny signed them for their experience and their know-how and stuff, you know what I mean? Great players in their time and great lads as well, actually. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was trying to sign Roy Evans as well for centre half, wasn't he?
What were they like
Alan Hansen?
What? What was Ian Rush and Barnes like about the place in the changing room?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Rushy, well, you've seen his career is absolutely phenomenal. And then John Barnes was just, he's the only player I ever think I've played with that just always had time in the ball. Like, he's even at that age, like, he was obviously coming to the end of his career, but he had so much time and quality on the ball. Funny thing, John Barnes never warmed up either four games, which is strange.
Nah, you might just sit in the dressing.
Yeah, we'd go in a bath, have a bath. He'd be just chilling in the bath and the ducks and then we'd be out like sweating and running around the pitch like idiots. He's got it all right. The first time he touched the ball, was that the referee blew the whistle. He was, man.
Fancy's just sitting in the bath.
Just sitting chilling, yeah. Big Cuban on. we're trying to get warmed up. But then his first touch would be unbelievable in the game, like, so you just leave him to it. Like.
Oh, what a hero, man. Mate, FA Cup experience, 98, lost to Arsenal 2-0. What do you remember the game?
Just obviously growing up in Ireland as well, so the FA Cup final, it's changed a little bit now, like, but as a kid, like, it used to be the full day thing, and as I mentioned before, but there's not many TV channels and stuff, but the whole thing, like, the BBC, whatever it was the whole day, like, leaving the hotel, getting the suits, so there'd be a song.
What was the suit? Sorry, what was the suit? I can't remember now.
It would have been a nice suit, but it wasn't like the Liverpool job, it wasn't too out there, like, you know what I mean? But even getting the suit and, you know, leading up to Wembley way and all that stuff. You know, the old Wembley, obviously, now, but...
Do you know, say you came back to your room before the game and John Barnes was sitting in your bath?
Got a game to go to, lad, come on.
Is that your first time? Tell me you never had a bath at Wembley.
Big one.
That's a real man. John Barnes in the bath. Was that your first time at Wembley as well?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was, yeah. Ended up coming back the following year and didn't play, didn't I? We got the final again the next year.
Was it about Arsenal a joke at that time?
Huh?
Were Arsenal a good team at that time?
They were, yeah. They were favourites and stuff. But the game, you know, we talk about lucky breaks and different things in the game. We had the post, I think Shearer had the post, and Dabby just had the crossbar or something, you know, at 1-0 or something.
Mm.
And then they never really got rocked, if you know what I mean. If one of them went in, and the crowd changed, and then nerves, any final, there'd be a bit of nerves involved and stuff, you know. But we never actually got that, you know, bit of luck that we deserved, I think, on the day. And I think Anelka scored a late sort of second and killed it off.
See that season? Was that the season Kenny Dalglish left at the start of that season?
Yes, good questions now.
What was it? Was it 1998-99? Mm-hmm. And were you surprised at that when they let him go?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Keegan era was the entertainers, and the fans obviously worshipped Kevin Keegan. And then we talk about Kenny had to make some changes and stuff, and I think they didn't maybe agree with some of the signings you mentioned with where they were before. And maybe they were, Kenny was trying to be a bit more pragmatic in a sense, trying to be a little bit more defensive minded, not too defensive minded, but a little bit tighter, because remember the Keegan era was like
4-3, 5-4, 4-5
and all that kind of stuff, which at the time was unbelievable to watch. I think Newcastle were everyone's sort of second team. Yeah. Whoever you supported, they loved watching them, you know, but I think Kenny was trying to just tighten it up a bit, but then the fans weren't buying into that. They wanted to see more maybe attack and stuff, and we didn't produce that maybe.
See, just before we got into Hewlett, because this relates to Shearer, did Shearer run the dressing room? Is he the main man?
Yeah, he would have been, yeah. He's the captain. And
what kind of guy is he?
It's mad, like, because you watch him on TV, like, and he's quite straight, isn't he? Like, and you think, does he ever, like, have a joke and a laugh? Like, but no, he's in the changing room, he's the opposite, like, you
is
know.
He? Is
he's
he
always,
right?
Always winding people up and messing. And,
oh, I didn't expect
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is he right?
Yeah, he's a good guy, actually. I like him. I was up at Loch Lomond actually last week playing golf with him actually, yeah.
Just you and him?
No.
No, it was just Sir Alex.
Yeah, it was a charity thing last week, yeah, for a cancer charity. And he asked me up, Al, to be fair, like, you know, but it was beautiful up there, Loch Lomond. We're going off my career now.
That's
like,
what I mean, don't know, but then who comes in.
What was your first impressions of him?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is obviously when someone brings you in, like Kenny brought me in, and then it's like a different manager comes in, so then you're like thinking, you know, you're sort of back to square one, aren't you? All the keepers are clean slate again, so he could come in and pick in whoever he wants, basically, you know. But yeah, he talked about sexy football and this and that, you know. Yeah,
maybe careful when you use the words, don't you?
No,
especially with John Barnes in the back.
You're not wrong.
I can't stop
but, but no, I mean, I think the thing about Rudy was, he was obviously a brilliant player, wasn't he? So then it was like, some of the stuff he'd ask some players to do, they weren't maybe good enough to do some of the things.
Well, like?
I don't know, we're doing like, I don't know, shooting exercise, and he'd like, we want the ball, played into midfield, like chest it and zing it out to the left winger or something, like, you know, and there'd be lads, not to say we had a bad standard, but one or two, maybe the younger players would be like, shanking it out of play or whatever and blah. And then the pressure adds up, next one, do another one, and then it's like, you know, yourself, it adds up, and then like, Hullet would go, give me the ball, chest, and he would zing it out wide, like, and the lads would be like, all right, yeah, do you know what I mean?
You come and fucking play then.
Not mean enough, like, you know what I mean? But it was kind of like, I don't know, not downgrading, but kind of just a bit like, I don't know, there's a balance as a manager, I think, as a coach, trying to get the best out of the players and maybe not,
yeah.
I don't know, sometimes great players, and sometimes they think everyone's is going to be as good as them, but you need a bit of coaching.
That's the biggest problem, isn't it? Mm. Which was well documented, you were saying that Shearer and Hullet had a bust up.
How quickly could you see that they didn't get on?
Yeah, well, when you're in the sort of zone or the mix of it all, you're kind of like focused on your own job and stuff, you know, when you, obviously years gone by and you look back now, I think the biggest thing was when they played Sunderland, and they were a big massive, as you imagine, derby against Sunderland. I was injured actually that night, and Duncan Ferguson and Alan Shearer both left out of the team. They're on the bench, like, so they played a young guy, Robinson, up front, and like, it was like we lost 2-1, I think, and then 8 o'clock on Monday morning. Duncan Ferguson and Alan Shearer both waiting at the outside the manager's office. Oh, I think Alan got there at 8:10 and Duncan was there already.
Oh my!
Trying to fight to get in the into the office. Oh, you don't want to be that. You don't want to be there.
Hide them behind your desk if you want to wear a pair of high heels. Hide them behind your desk.
Sexy football seemed a long way away at that point, didn't it?
What?
But why did he drop? Why was he asking? Was he asking Shearer to change his game? Was he asking Shearer to maybe do something?
I don't know. I don't know if Alan's at a stage where Hullet might have thought he should be doing more or running more or whatever, blah blah blah. And then I think it got to a stage where, because Alan Shearer, you know, you could say whatever you want, the king of Newcastle, he's Newcastle fan, he's record, you know, goal scorer in Premier League, he's a hero up there, you know. And then I think Hullet took that on a bit. So he goes, I'm the man, I'm the manager. Do you know what I mean? So then it was like sort of a clash, you know.
You're obsessed with Ferguson, aren't
you? One of your big heroes is the show, Duncan Ferguson. What was he like about the place?
Oh, brilliant. Love Duncan. I remember one story, he's back, because I was single at the time. I remember one story back at my house one day, and I got somebody bought me a bottle of Dom Perignon for me 21st or something. And like, lads are all come back, whatever, bit of a party in the house, and all just drinking beers and stuff, right? And they go, hey, can I drink this shit? And he's clocked this bottle of Dom Perignon, like I had it like stashed in the box and everything. Like,
your first bottle.
And like, big Duncan sized him, just went up and like was on leaning to his stepladder again. He just reached up and pulled it down. I said, Duncan, no, I don't want that. No, this is what I drink. Like, fucking Dom DP got up and I was like, blowing devastated. You know what I mean?
Did he get a full bottle?
Yeah, he would have done that.
But you can't say it, or you just need to let him drink it.
But the funniest thing with Duncan, he used to do the punch bag in the gym. Uh-huh. My God, lads. He used to kill the punch bag. You know, like you see somebody do the pads and all that. He looks quite quick. You know? He was grunting at it and everything. And I was like, not want to right hook off Duncan. Like,
why is he like fighting?
Was he a good player as well, Ferguson?
Yeah. I mean, when he was on his peak, like he was an absolute brilliant player. The biggest problem he had was his injuries and stuff, trying to keep him fit, you know.
Yeah. Would he get on boys in training if you weren't there?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, he wouldn't mess with Duncan, like, no chance.
Man, Duncan.
He's a legend.
But then, for one hero, Sir Bobby Robson. Mm. How special manager was he?
Yeah, he was brilliant. I mean, we had some managers in between and didn't get it right. And then Bobby came back, obviously, because he's from Durham. He's from the Northeast and stuff. And he just got the balance of what the fans wanted. And his personality was so bubbly and lively, you know, and he got the best at everyone. Like, you know, he was just a real character. But a great manager as well. He's managed around the world, Barcelona and different clubs, and you know, he's a real big personality to get back to the club.
See, like we talk manager, was he somebody that would be out in the training pitch coaching that the way he wants his team to play, or was it mere man management?
I think a bit of both, actually. I think it's funny, we used to play Champions League games, and the night before it'd be maybe during the week he'd leave some of the coaches to do the work, and then night before you'd play in the Champions League away at that old San Siro or whatever it was, and all the cameras would be there and all the, you know what I mean? Bobby like, right, I'm taking this one right. Balls, and he'd be going like over the top and like, again, like all this stuff, like, and all that. But like, the lads would be like, clock the gaffer here, the cameras must be here and all this kind of stuff. But his enthusiasm was unbelievable. 70 or something, and he was like,
amazing,
unbelievable enthusiasm for the game.
See, just before he came, what was the story behind you getting dropped? FA Cup final 99, the one that Man U in the treble, why have you not playing?
Big Man U fan, wasn't I? Nah, it was a mad one because it was actually Terry Ginner who was told me I wasn't playing. Never even told me. That was the biggest thing that done me in, like, you know.
And how soon did you get told what we're talking about?
Like a few days before, yeah. Because I played every game up to the final, you know.
So Terry just goes shaking, I get asked.
He's only speak to you. He's told me to tell you you're not playing, basically.
How were you then?
I was really gutted, obviously, because played really well in the semi-final and like thought I deserved, you know, played all the games up to that, you know, but I think I didn't play the week before in the league or something or whatever it was. And then obviously they had to make a decision and they picked Harper, you know, and he said the reason I wasn't playing is because my kicking was poor or something like that, you know, so, but he didn't actually tell me himself. That's like, at least you think you deserve the manager.
It's like Routoul would be able to pull you and tell you, you know,
so I was gutted.
So did you go and see him after Terry told you?
Yeah, I can't remember now exactly how it went. I don't know if I did or not. I can't remember. But I was raging. I was just raging, basically.
Especially
you know?
In a game of that magnitude, you know what I mean? Like,
I was good at it, man.
And there's also handed in a transfer request. I never knew that.
Mm.
Does he mess about, does he?
No, why is that? Because Harper was playing ahead of you?
I think he might have put in two up there on stage. You got some fans cursing the thing now, you know?
Didn't fuck about, did you?
No, but again, it's more like, as I say, going back to when I was a kid, my dad was like, we're leaving home, we're going to make a career out of it. We want to play as many games as we can. And I'm not going to, like, I didn't want to sit on the bench.
It's a great mentality to have.
I don't want to digress. Because the way I looked at it was, I've got one life, one career, I need to play as many games as I can, basically.
I mean, that's because I think too many people are far too happy to just sit as a number two or as a number three. Do you know what I mean? That's the elite mentality, mate, isn't
it? It wasn't for me, to be honest.
And then you reached, so how did that get resolved? How come you ended up staying?
I think Bobby spoke to me and put me back in the team, basically, so I was back playing again. But yeah, I mean, looking back now, and I've coached recently myself, and it's like, I was hot-headed as a player as well, and probably should have had a bit more patience, you know, but I think for a couple of weeks, I was, I'll do for a couple of weeks, but then it was maybe longer than that, and I was like, I was losing my head, like, you know, but, you know, you see players getting left out all the time now, and it's more of a squad game and all that kind of nonsense, but it's just different ways of dressing it up. You're not playing, like, you know, so I just wasn't happy. I just wanted to play. And every time I didn't play, I was like, right, I can't get that game back. Like, I'm fit. I should be playing. Yeah. In my head, I should, you know, I'm not saying Harper was, I was better. I'm just saying in my head, I should have been playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I wasn't, and I can't get that game back. Do you know what I mean? It's gone.
Yeah. Could Bobby Robson still, even though he was an older guy, could he still dish it out? Have you had a bad performance?
Yeah, he used to give it a bit, yeah. I mean, his best, you mentioned about his man manager skills was phenomenal. He was absolutely brilliant man manager, yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
And what sort of stuff would he do with that?
Well, like, for the likes of Bellamy and Shearer, they didn't really get on that well, like, you know.
Right.
And so you talk about Hull thought Shearer's legs were gone, whatever, but he would go up to Shearer and goes, you're our main striker, you're the man, and we'll get the ball, so you get in the box, we'll give you chances, blah, 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 blah. And he said to Bellamy, fuck it, don't mind him. He's getting old. You're doing all his running. You're fucking brilliant. Fucking, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he would go to Shearer, like, mind him, Bellamy's a mouthpiece. He fuck, just do it. And then, like, on a Saturday, they're brilliant. Like, the two of them just come together on a Saturday, both of them brilliant. Like, you know, and that again comes back to man management and getting the best out of people, you know?
I did like Bellamy. I thought Bellamy was
I like, I had a lot of time for Craig as well. Like,
can he get angry at her?
Yeah. He's very opinionated, like, and he never could change that, like, you know, and as a coach, as a manager, sometimes, oh, just shut up, like, but at the same time, he wants the best out of people, and people might not think that, like, he was always last in the gym, he was so professional and stuff, he was really dedicated. Like.
Would you argue about field players?
Yeah,
always. Who were the main ones that you would have a go at each other?
Most of them, really.
Like,
yeah, anyone really has had a pop, like, I normally have a pop back, and maybe it's just, again, the stubbornness in my head, like, I would, fucking you watch your own, you do your own fucking thing and I'll fucking watch my kitchen type thing, you know what I mean? But I mean, at times as well, I don't overly agree, like, you know, if a keeper chucks one in, like, which I have done, and then somebody's coming and ranting and raving in your face, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then maybe before they missed a chance or something, they're like, I'm going to sprint 70 yards, what the fuck are you doing? Like, do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, you got to get the balance right, you know?
Champions League 2002, mate.
Champions League? Was that the first time you played in Champions League?
No, we played the Champions League, when I first went up there, so they finished second in the league, didn't they? The first time, the first year I went to 21. So I actually played Barcelona in one of my first games, Barcelona at home,
Who was the Barca team? Who was, like, the big players then?
They had Rivaldo and the likes, and I think Figo might have been there, and Van Gaal was the manager, and they had some big personalities, So basically they rolled into Newcastle thinking we just had to turn up, and we went 3-0, we got a hat-trick, we were 3-0 up. The atmosphere was, like, the best atmosphere I've ever played in.
St. James's atmosphere is unbelievable.
But that night especially was just... Honestly, I could shout to you and you wouldn't hear what I was saying. It was just, you couldn't describe how amazing it was.
Was the Champions League music that still going to this?
Yeah. So we went 3-0 up. They got back to 3-2 and it was twitchy bum from the last 10 minutes, but we managed to. But it was a fantastic result, like, because as I say, we were new to the Champions League and they're obviously been European champions before. They've been Europe Champions League every year, like, you know, great experience and fantastic history at the club, you know, but that was a big, big result for us.
See, if you were to, can you remember one unbelievable story for Bobby Robson, your favourite story?
Bobby Robson story. Probably a few that I can't tell, but one time we got this fart machine, put it under we're away in Europe somewhere, and, like, you sit in a big room like this, whatever, and the lads put the machine underneath his table, the staff table, like round table, whatever. And we're sitting, like, dinner, like, that's right, press the button like this. And you can see, like, you can see Bobby, like, give it the first one, he was like, you know, he sort of wondered, did I really hear that, right? And then it was like, you know, about the food, and it was like, then about a double, like, Jesus Christ, you disgusting bastard, who was that? Like, and the lads, like, you can imagine what the whole team was like, because everyone else was on it apart from him, and even the staff, the other staff members, and they were all trying to go, like, and he lost his shit, but then he had a laugh about it when he found out, like, the whole thing, but... There's loads of stuff, like, he was funny, Bobby, like, some of the stuff he came out with.
I don't know why I'm picking John Barnes spatting in the bath.
Can you get John Barnes out of your head in the bath? I wish I hadn't told you that, though. You're obsessed with John Barnes in the bath.
Just leave it.
Sorry, mate. Peter Reid and John Burns. Love them. Mate, you forget how good that Newcastle team was. Top of the league by Christmas of 2001-2002. Did you think you were good enough to win it that year?
I suppose, like anything, you're up there and you're challenging. Like, you know, we thought we'd stay up there as long as we could. I mean, we had some good players. We had some good, you know, we had a good...
Who were the top players? Obviously, Bellamy, Shearer, who else?
Yeah, with Dyer, Gary Speed.
Gary Speed, the hero, you said he was one of your best buds.
Yeah, one of my best friends, yeah.
How, what was so... Everyone says he's just such a nice guy.
It's mad because we played Everton a few seasons before and he was the Everton captain and it's coming out the tunnel at Goodison and it's like obviously quite tight there as well and he's... I was just waiting to like go out and fix my clothes. I don't know what I was doing, whatever. He's like, oh, Shea, how's it going? You all right? I was like, fucking hell. It's the first time an opposition player ever like... When I was talking about the crazy gang, let's kill this young keeper. He was like asking me how you doing, everything all right.
Wow,
and I was like total opposite, like, you know. But I mean, he was a fantastic player as well, you know, but a great personality. I mean, he was Alan was captain, but Speedo was the vice captain, but he was like a captain himself, you know. He's a great guy, you know.
Would he ever like, could he go through boys though? Like,
oh yeah.
That side as well.
Both sides,
we played Portsmouth once away and we were 1-0, like, you know, Portsmouth were doing well at the time in the Premier League and all this kind of stuff. And we loaned Lua to them as our player. And the second or something didn't do the paperwork properly. It meant he could play against us. He scored against us in the last 2 minutes to go or something like. So Speed is going to chuck the table and started punching walls and he was going nuts, yeah. It's an absolute joke and a few more... What's the word?
Expletives.
Yeah, you can say that word. It's a big word for you, Dad.
I mean, see how you say you had that... you mentioned the players' top team... Why did you fall short in not winning the league? What did you not have that could go the full way? Squad, maybe, size of squad?
Possibly, yeah, possibly. And maybe that experience again, we never won it before, you know. That was the biggest regret, to be honest, in Newcastle. There nearly 12 years. We got the semi-finals of Europa League. We got the FA Cup finals. We were on the league close, you know, but we were always just not quite there, you know, and that's the frustrating thing. And talk about the fans of Newcastle. They were absolutely brilliant, the fans of Newcastle, you know, and they're just even still to this day, still crying out for a trophy, you know, and every year you get reminded like it's been X amount, that's an R year, and you don't feel like a failure, but you just wish you could just give them something back, you know.
I always think we Newcastle see like these Farry Stoners come here, and Man City, obviously Bramwich for Russia with Chelsea, but Newcastle's
the perfect team to take over.
I know. I mean, it's a great team. I'm surprised it's still not been taken over. I think it was a 10 years ago.
Does it hurt you to see that with Newcastle?
Yeah, it does, yeah. I'd love to have seen, like, you know, the takeover with the big money involved recently. They were talking about coming in and really having a go, like, you know. And I don't know the ins and outs of all went on behind the scenes, like, but I would love to have seen a big owner go in there and really have a go, like, you know, because it's a special city and a special club in the middle of this Newcastle. Like, they walk up from the bars and walk straight to the stadium. You drive across the bridge and the whole thing's in the middle of the... You can see the stadium in the middle of the city, you know. It's really unique.
How fanatical are the fans? See, when you're in about Newcastle, is it constant?
Yeah, it's mad. Like, I've said this before, but you go drive around and stuff, you see the full family with the kit, like. And I mean, the wife, the father, all the kids, like, different kits the whole way around. Like, it's, I suppose, a bit like most, maybe, like, a lot of cities that have one club, you know, they're just fanatical about their club. And it's a working city as well, so they work all week to go and support their team at the weekend, you know. So that gives a bit of pressure to the players, too.
See, if you had to pick, and I don't like doing this, but...
You're going to do it, aren't you?
If you had to go with two up, Bellamy and Shearer or Shearer and Sutton?
I'm going Bellamy for the pace.
Aye, Bellamy.
What, today, you mean, or in general, or what are you saying?
Just today, right now.
I don't know. I mean, I played more with Craig, if I'm being honest, so I'd have played more with Craig, but obviously Chris Sutton, I mean, the famous SES Shearer and Sutton up front at Blackburn, they won the league, you know, so... It's hard to say that you wouldn't play with them two, but they're different. They're probably similar in the tall men and hold the ball up well, you know. But you're probably right. But Bellamy's pace was electric at times, and I don't know. Could that answer that question?
I think you meant Bellamy and Shearer.
Yeah, I probably would say that.
You said you were nearly men. Also, UEFA Cup semi-final. But I remember the game. Drogba was.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. Obviously, before it was the year before he signed for Chelsea, like. But
yeah. They went on to win it that year, didn't they?
Yeah. He was a difference. Like,
Drogba
was a machine, yeah. I mean, he was just so strong. And I mean, obviously the career he's had since that at Chelsea and stuff, you could tell what a brilliant player he was going to be. Like, but he just really gave our defenders a tough time. I think Andy O'Brien might have played against him that night. And he was really strong against him. Yeah.
See, in Europe, was there any strikers you hated playing against?
I get asked that before, but I don't really hate to get played against anyone. I think the bigger the striker, whatever, not I mean tall wise, but the, you know, the, I mean, in stature, like, I don't know, great players have played against in the past, you know, you feel like, right, tonight you have to really be.
Oh, so you lift your game?
Well, not lift it, but you, like, you know you're going to get tested type thing, you know, so instead of fearing it, you kind of go the other way, go, I'm going to show to them, like, that I'm a top keeper, whatever, I'm going to produce some magic tonight.
Is there a stat that there's a. One striker scored more goals than any other striker.
Probably is, yeah. They're probably fucking competing over that. Just checking the names on here and fucking hell. Looking like
this. Did Rooney score the volley against
you? The two lists.
Did Rooney score the volley against you? Aye. But that's unstoppable, mate. There's nothing you can do.
I don't think I've ever made a save in my life before. Every time they show Sky Sports, they only show me hooking the ball in the net. Honestly, got any record. Ronaldo came back last week. Last goal he scored in the past was against me. And then at the weekend, he scored two goals, and the whole commentary was about the last time he scored a hat trick was against Shea Given. I was like, I'm sure he scored goals against all the goalkeepers too. And I made a save once.
Mate, one place you have made a save is for Ireland. World Cup 2002. How much pride do you look back? Are you the record cap holder?
No, Robbie Keane's the record cap holder. I'm the most capped goalkeeper. Like, but yeah. I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, growing up again back in Donegal, we used to be massive Irish fans in the World Cups and the Euros on Jack Charlton here. That was a big part of my growing up, you know. Yeah. It was just phenomenal. You mentioned diving around like me in the garden. I used to be Packy Bunner in the garden and doing the full commentary and stuff when I was a kid. So then to go full circle, they actually be walking out, you know, on a World Cup stage and you pick the best goalkeeper in your country and playing in front of all them fans around the world, you know, it's very special.
What an experience, huh?
That must be unbelievable. Yeah,
it's pinnacle really, yeah.
Did your family go?
Yeah, my dad and my company brother. Oh. Yeah.
Your dad and Kenny Dalglish went up and together. What is a World Cup experience like?
Yeah, it's well, we had the experience obviously beforehand when Roy left the camp and all that nonsense. But I think the whole thing, like, because as I said, because I've gone full circle, fan, then traveling, and then like you get a send off of the fans in Dublin Airport, and like everything's hyped up, you know, and rightly so, because the biggest tournament in world football, and you're going to be part of it, like, you know, so it's hard to. Even speaking about it, you get the hairs up the back of your neck thinking walking out against, you know, Cameroon the first game, like, and you know the whole country's like there's nobody working, TVs are on, like the pubs are rammed. You can imagine the scenes back in Ireland because I was there as a kid, like, so I can just sort of focus and remember all that, and then you're the one that's on the pitch, you know, it's special.
What is your memories of Roy Keane and Mick McCarthy bust up?
Yeah, I mean it was nice. I mean it was a lot of stuff said back and forth. They were shouting at each other and what have you, you know, but. It was just a shame, you know, it was just a shame how it panned out. You know, I wish Roy had stayed and played and be part of the whole thing, like, you know, because he's a great player.
Was he brilliant, Roy Keane?
Yeah, brilliant player. I mean, his career, but even on the pitch and his presence and, you know, even opposition players, you'd see them looking at him and stuff. And he gave he was a leader, you know. He would have been intimidated to other people, yeah, definitely, yeah. And
was it not something to do with the goal? Is it argument part of that?
Yeah, he blamed me, I think, in the end, yeah. I get blamed for all sorts, don't I?
What? So what was it because was it the goal coach he had not he's had done enough?
Yeah, well we went down in our area or something in Saipan, it was like humidity and really hot and stuff. We had done enough supposedly at that point, you know, but I don't know, for whatever reason, like I know and Roy will probably tell you better or different, but it didn't feel like he wanted to be there for whatever reason, you know. So it was just a strange one. They lose him and Mick obviously they were sent home, fell apart and whatever, and he went home, and obviously you can imagine the world media was all over that, like, you know, you lost the best player, the captain.
Yeah,
it was big news.
How did you deal with that after he went? Was it just so strange that?
Yeah, it was more of us coming together with that. Right, well, he's gone now. We have to get on with it. We have to come together. And for me personally, it was more like, well, as I said, I've grown up watching the World Cups, and now this is my opportunity. Yeah, it doesn't matter who's leaving or who's coming. I'm going to still try and savour every minute of it. Like.
Were the balls in the pitches that bad? As he explains.
I don't think so. I think. The whole Saipan thing was more of a get together, try and unwind after a long, hard season.
Right.
Get the lads together, a few beers, bit of training. And then when we went to Japan, that was when the serious stuff happened, you know. But I mean, for me, it'd be no reason to walk away from a World Cup, if I'm being honest. No. Yeah.
But Damien Duff said that the nightlife, he's got a few good nights.
Yes, especially in Saipan. Yeah, it was good crack. I mean, that was a big thing about the Irish setup. It was we had a real togetherness and a team spirit because. And it wasn't all about alcohol, but it was to get together a few nights out, you would get to know lads more than you would just on the training ground. You know, I think, you know, I obviously played nearly for 20 years for Ireland, so the latter part of my career, like you'd see lads in the train in the morning, you wouldn't see them again until the next day, you know, and I didn't know, you know, about their families or their friends or their life. You know, you just kind of, it was one of the things I think that made us a better team was the togetherness and the team spirit, and you know, we had that in abundance. Maybe it didn't have the brilliant players, but we had some good players, don't get me wrong, but we didn't have the world beaters.
So what was the famous story of Steve Staunton and Quinn?
Well, it was
Damien Duffy them.
Duffy would have been there probably, but no, it's funny because I think it was a Saturday night, actually. I remember I think we met up and we were supposed to train on the Sunday. We had the FAI awards on the Sunday night, actually, you know, like the annual awards for the best
player of the year or not.
Player of the year or not. So Steve Staunton, we all went out, I think, on the Saturday. We went back at a semi-reasonable time, but Steve Staunton and Niall Quinn tried to kick on somewhere, and I think, I don't know what time it was, 4 or 5 in the morning, and everything was closed, like. And I think Quinny bet Stan that he would find somewhere open, like, so, I don't know, whatever it was, £100 or €100 or whatever. No, you know, after a few, no, yeah. Shit, you're talking shit, no chance, blah, 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 whatever, like, right? So what Quinny does, right, taxi to the train station, got on the train, I think it was at Kilkenny or Waterford, wherever they went, right? So they served drink on the train, don't they? So he got on the train, drinking on the train, got the return ticket and got back up, drinking on the
back
train.
Again.
Yeah. And by the time they got back up to Dublin, the pubs were reopened again.
So they kicked on again?
They kicked on again. So they turned up at, I think it was like 4 or 5 o'clock on the Sunday evening for the thing. And Mick McCarthy was fuming, like, because they were literally coming staggering in the door, like, because they were 2 days basically on it, like.
But other people that have been on here have said that would happen quite a lot, but then the players would still turn up.
Now, the funny thing about it, because that night, then we had the black tie thing, right? So Mick, you better and sort yourselves out and can come back up, right? Stan was never to be seen again. Stan was just bed legging. But Quinny literally had a shower, come up black tuxedo. All right, lads.
Brand new, ready to go.
Yeah, it was like a magic shower he had.
That's a guy who's been doing that for years.
It's unbelievable. There's nothing wrong with him.
People can do that.
What?
I don't know how people can do that. Machine. Mate.
But Richard Dunn, supposedly the best drinker of all time.
Yeah, back in the day, yeah.
What, just 5 pints?
We went to America once. Well, when we were kids, actually 19 or 20, I think it would be 21 when we were drinking, but we had a day out in America, like, and I was like, oh, right, lads, what do you want? Oh, beer, like Miller, Bud, Guinness, Dunny, pint of vodka orange. Was that what? Pint of vodka orange? And I was like, yeah, yeah. I like that. Done the same reaction. A good one, Dunny. Well, what do you want? Fucking pint of vodka orange. I was like, what? Oh, what was that? He goes, you asked for 5 shots of vodka and a dash of orange. I was like, ah. Like, what? And we had like, he was drinking pints for pints all day.
The full day?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, what a hero. It's some of the best days you've had.
He's some man. We had some great cracks, some great stories. And as I say, we were really, really close, actually, you know, as friends and family. We felt a bit like family, actually, all the lads together. Yeah.
Who were you closest to?
I don't know, probably the longer people you're in the squad with, I suppose. It was like, obviously, Robbie Keane, Duffer, Dunny, Stephen Carr. I don't know, the players would be there sort of the longest. You know, John O'Shea would have been there a good few years. You build up them sort of relationships, don't you, over the years?
And would it be mostly Dublin that you would go out? Usually Dublin?
Dublin, yeah. Yeah, Dublin mostly. Yeah, we meet up there in Dublin.
Would you not get mobbed for fans in it?
Not too bad. You'd normally get like a quiet corner or whatever, or roped off or something, whatever.
I mean, seeing you look back at that World Cup, how is it a what-if moment as if that we could have got through against
Spain? Yeah, definitely was, yeah. I mean, the thing is that we lost in penalties, and that's the disappointment. I didn't save a penalty, but we missed the first free as well, which wouldn't have mattered probably if I saved one. But the biggest disappointment was we actually had a penalty in the game. I know, like, I'm leaning Ian Hart out to dry a little bit, but Harty was probably one of the best ball strikers of football you could ever see. Like, and for whatever reason, like, if he whips it with his left foot, there's no goalkeeper in the world saving it. And for whatever reason, he changed his mind, run up the ball, and that's the pressure, you know, because obviously you're playing the World Cup final, the eyes of the world are on you, you know, and for whatever reason, he changed his mind on the run-up and he went to Casillas' right. Casillas went to the right and saved it. Like, it wasn't a brilliant penalty, and that was in the game, you know. We got another penalty and Robbie Keane took it and scored, you know. And then, to be fair, I think the last 10 or 15, they were semi-hanging on.
People, I remember
that. People were look back and go, Spain weren't hanging on. I'm telling you, they were hanging on. I think they made it, the man got injured towards the end as well, so they were playing with 10 men and they were playing for penalties at that point, you know, but had we scored, obviously, we would have seen the game out, you know, the second penalty, or the first penalty in the game, you know, but...
What did Mike say to you after it?
No, not much you can say.
Nah. Quiet dressing room,
For me, personally, it was just, not saving a penalty, because looking back, you know, you remember Paki making that famous penalty save against Romania all them years ago, and he's a hero for that, you know, and it was my sort of...
Your moment.
My moment, and I didn't save one, you know, so that was the frustrating thing for me.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're talking about Ireland team spirit days out. Was it similar at Newcastle?
Yeah,
it was good for a night.
Steve Watson was the first sort of character that took me under his wing. It was mad because first weekend in Newcastle was Saturday, I think, played a game or whatever. So we're outside, we used to all go out together as a team. It was back in the day when all the teams used to go out together and have a bit of crack. And then the Sunday was like an all-day session. I was like, Jesus, thank God it's Monday. He goes, Monday? He said, Monday, student night. It's the busiest night of the week. he wasn't even joking. He queued around the block to get in. I was like, oh, this city's going to kill me.
That's brilliant. So he done Saturday, Sunday, Monday?
Why? That was the first weekend in Newcastle. It only lasted 12 years like that.
Oh, what a hero, man. The nightlife, have you been in Newcastle?
Mate, brilliant.
Yeah, it's a good place. The good thing about Newcastle, they just enjoy themselves. Like, they love a night out and they love the crack. But I think they're a bit like Irish people, actually. They're no hairs or graces about them. They just they enjoy a night out, you know.
Who were the main culprits, Grit, over the years?
Culprits?
It was about Bellamy. Patrick
liked a night out, yeah.
Did Bellamy love it?
Bellamy liked a night out. Kieran Dyer.
Yeah.
Titus Bramble. Yeah, there's a few of them. Like, I mean, they were probably young at that stage, you know what I mean? So I think the game has moved on and changed a lot. So now, like, you say, well, you don't see, but the professional and stuff and the way that they're, like, monitored and stuff. You know, we didn't even have the sports science back then, you know what I mean? So it was like, but again, the team spirit was good.
Did Shearer ever go?
Yeah, he would do, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So later on, we used to go out in couples then, and Shearer and Speedo and Warren Barton, Rob Lee, you know, stuff like that. So we would go
out. It's a bit more boring though with that, the couples in it.
Yeah.
Can I get up too much, can't you know?
when's this going out,
Was Clive a hero, or was he a bit arrogant? Touch could be quite
arrogant. No, he wasn't. He was a good, really good guy. Like, you know, towards the end of his career, do you know what I mean? Like, but sometimes he'd be finishing sessions, he'd be unbelievable, like, you know. But then sometimes in a game, he would, you know, he's didn't have the legs and stuff, you know what I mean? That he was a great player in his time.
How did the boys react to when Bob Robson got sacked and Souness replaced him?
Yeah. Seriously? Yeah.
How was that?
It was a strange one because I think we just missed out in the Champions League. So we finished second, third, fourth, and then it was fifth, I think it was. And then he got sacked on the back of that, you know. So you think of Newcastle now, would they take that? Like finishing fifth, they'd be buzzing with that, you know what I mean? But I don't know, there was different fractions in the media and different players maybe were speaking to different people, but they were saying he maybe lost the change room and lost discipline and different things, you know. But I think that was Bobby's way of dealing with certain players, maybe like Bellamy or Kieran Dyer and different things, you know. And then Souness was brought on to try and get people back in line, you know. But
and did he straight away, Souness? Did he nail it?
He did try to get people in line. I mean, Bellamy's probably the example you might have read about or seen about it, that he, I think Souness offered him out and stuff, you know, one of the meetings and stuff. Yeah.
How did that come about?
I don't know. I think he didn't disagree with something and don't you start with me. And then he was sort of, he's going to pull him up out of the chair, basically, you know. But I mean, the two of them can give as probably good as they can get, you know what I mean? So there was nobody sort of stepping away from it. Like.
Yes. I do like Souness speaking on the telly. I think he's quite good, but I don't know of how players would react to that. Mm. Big players.
No, I don't know. I don't know if you can do that. No, I'm not sure.
But again, that's a good few years ago now as well. So many years ago was that? What year is that you're talking about? Yeah.
I can't remember. But somebody says
you've got it written down.
Somebody also said that.
You can't remember from Fundy?
Where was it? Oh, it was the year that Bobby sacked and Souness came out of that. But somebody else said that Blackburn, he would join in as a manager and smash players.
At Blackburn, yeah.
Did he do that at Newcastle?
I don't think he'd done that at Newcastle, no.
Oh,
very rarely, I think. Yeah.
Did you go on
him? I got on him fine with Graham, yeah, he was all right, yeah. I mean, straight to the point and stuff, you know, but I didn't have an issue.
Was he good?
Yeah, I liked him. Yeah, he was straight to the point. Again, it was transitioning from Newcastle and different things. You know what I mean? It wasn't an easy spell for him, I don't think.
See that, but like, sometimes I feel when I was obviously a reserve player, but you can almost tell. I don't know about this as soon as, but when the players are only buying into the manager, you can feel it about the training.
Mm.
Was that similar to as soon as at Newcastle? Some players will just know sort of trying and training.
I think that you get that with. But I don't know, I suppose you're actually the top managers, then I think there's probably an element of that in every sort of team or every squad. Yeah. If you're not playing, or if you're trying, there's always people trying to stick a knife in it, aren't they? And trying to say, fucking, what's he doing here? What's he's lost the plot, or he's not good enough for this, or what's that session all about? You know what I mean? But I don't know, I think you always get that at every club.
Bellamy came up to Celtic when he fell out with Souness, didn't he? That was when he came to Celtic on loan.
On loan?
Yeah.
He was unbelievable.
Was there any other players that you kind of rubbed up the wrong way? Or was it just Bellamy?
I think it might have been Bellamy, maybe Kieran Dyer. I don't know if he's taken out of turn, like, but I think he had a few run-ins with a few of the players, like, you know. But again, so you got Bobby Robson, who's a fantastic manager, and then you're going from someone who's quite regimental and quite, you know what I mean? So it's kind of maybe opposite ends of the scale there, really, wasn't it?
I don't want to keep on asking about people fighting, but Can you remember Diane Bowyer's fight?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
That was a strange
one. Was it in your, wasn't in your half, was it? It was in the opposite half of the pitch?
It was more or less the middle of the pitch, I think. Near enough middle of the pitch.
So could you see it?
Yeah, it just was weird, like, you know.
Did they not get on in training or that way? Or no, was it just a heated moment?
I think it was a heated moment, and basically because one didn't pass, I can't remember which way, it was a Bowyer didn't pass to Dyer, or Dyer didn't pass to, and they said, playing the ball, and you fucking, and then next thing they were pulling out of each other on the pitch. Like, it was just like, it was a bit surreal, the moment, like even looking back, I think that wouldn't happen. I don't think that would happen now, would you? You know what I mean? In the modern day game, it was like just mental. I remember Bowyer's jersey was down there somewhere, and it got ripped off him, and I think Gareth Barry split them up from Aston Villa, and it was like both two red cards. Like
so it was.
Do you remember the next day, but as soon as we were there?
Press conference.
Was it the training ground?
Yeah, outside the front door.
I think that was right. Mm. Just deep behind closed doors, sorted out. Was it not they shook hands or something?
They shook hands outside the training ground, yeah. But you
I
can,
don't know, you deal with
it. Yeah, you can imagine, but the media and the fans were going nuts at the time, you know, so trying to show,
you know,
it was just like dealt with or whatever you want to say, like, you know.
What would you do if you were out, I was playing right back from Newcastle and you're like, get in, I went, fuck off.
Mm.
What would you do? If I told you to fuck off.
On the pitch?
Mm.
Would you react to that badly?
Yeah, not badly, I'd probably have a go back at.
Would you?
Yeah.
Try it.
No, but to be honest, I'd be organising all the time. I'm quite loud, and some people say, fuck whatever, hear every fucking shit up behind me. Like,
you need that, mate, as a goalkeeper.
Yeah, I know. Because I was at Derby there coaching for 3 years, and sometimes like you think, lads, just speak, just talk.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Well, it's not difficult. Like, you're actually helping your mates out, like, you know. Uh-huh. So if I want you to come in, you fucking come in, right? Do you know what I mean?
Who was the usual two that you'd play? Who would you play most when you're the two centre halves in front of you at Newcastle?
Steve Howe would have played a lot. Darren Peacock in the early
Darren
years.
Darren Peacock, remember him?
Philip Albert.
Oh, with the Pornotash.
No, he's a Belgian.
Remember he chipped Schmeichel?
Yeah, the 5-0.
Did he? Philip
Albert.
Probably
yeah.
did, but.
I think.
Who's your favourite?
There you go.
To play in front, behind.
Probably Jonathan Woodgate.
Oh, caviar.
Woodgate was good, man.
Brilliant. Yeah. What a player.
The only problem he had was injuries, but he was an absolutely brilliant player. He moved to Real Madrid from Newcastle, didn't he?
Do you still speak to Woodgate?
Yeah, still.
Did he tell you any stories about Real Madrid?
No, I just remember he got injured when he first went there, didn't he? He made his debut, scored an OG, had an absolute wilderbeast, didn't he? He had a nightmare.
And then, mate, another Mike Owen. You must have been buzzing when you had Mike Owen was coming.
Yeah, it was big news, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was at Real Madrid. We signed him from Real Madrid. It was like a massive signing for the club. Like, again, we just felt he was going to bring us goals. And, you know, I think it was 20,000 turned up just for the signing and stuff. You know, it was absolutely
massive
mad.
At that time,
that
wasn't
it?
Yeah. What was he like as a guy? Did he not get a helicopter at the time?
Yeah, one story he got a helicopter. Bobby Robson was the manager. Is it Bobby Robson?
Soonest
was the manager. And I think he said I think it was Blackburn. We came around on the Boxing Day. He says, oh, and obviously you normally come in like an hour and a half before training, you know, to pre-active. So because it's Christmas Day, I just want you to turn up, be there for 3 o'clock on the pitch, like, don't be late, but you don't have to be in like an hour before, whatever, just make sure you're there.
Yeah, right.
So we're walking onto the pitch, like, is it 10 to 3, 5? Owen's not in, is he? So next thing, 4 minutes to 3, all cheers. Like a helicopter coming over the trees, like, whatever it was, like, getting closer. Landed on the pitch next to the training, like a minute to 3, right? Steps out, this is true. Steps out with full kit on.
And the boots?
Boots on, everything. Happy Christmas, lads. Swear to God.
And did the helicopter just sit or did it fly?
No, he took away, then again, off he went. Like, we were getting the bus into Blackburn.
Brilliant, but players laughing at that over the region.
Well, the thing is.
I'd be buzzing off that before. What? I'd be buzzing, I'd love that.
Remember, what was that show? I was going to say that show. It was a footballer's. Remember that show? Yes.
Football's Wives?
It was like really corny and stuff. Like, that wouldn't happen in the Premier League club. Like, couldn't happen.
What did Souness say when he turned up in
helicopter? I don't think he could say anything because he spoke there on the day before.
Yeah, with the rules.
And he said, that's the rules. Like, just make sure like you're on the pitch. I don't care. Do you know what I mean?
Brilliant, that. Was he quite flashy or like,
No, he wasn't really. He was actually just because he spent the morning, his family live in Chester, I think. Right. And he spent the morning with the family and stuff and obviously left it to the last minute to come up to Newcastle. Like.
Have you seen his stables in it?
He's got he's into his horses,
isn't
he?
Yeah, he loves the horses.
Did you ever get up to his stables?
Yeah, I've been up there, yeah. Yeah, it's lovely, yeah.
Is it?
Big setup, yeah. He's mad into the horses, yeah.
Yeah.
See, when
used to have the racing post under his arm every day.
Did he?
Yeah, standard, yeah.
And would he win a few quid, huh?
Yeah, I think he's
a good gambler because he puts his tips up for Cheltenham and that.
Does
he,
yeah?
Quite good,
I said to him one day, see all the time you've been betting, like, do you think, like, seriously? Because I don't bet, like. Uh-huh. So do you think, like, you're up or do you think you're down? He goes, oh, miles down. Seriously? Uh-huh. I'm like, what are you betting for then? But like, do you know what I mean? You think, oh, because they always say, oh, I got a good winner yesterday and we got there. I was like, he must be doing all right, like. And I asked him the question, but
Oh, miles down.
He's talking miles. You know what I mean?
See, I can remember, somebody in my mind's not the best, but I can remember that Shearer was he quite critical?
It was last year or something, wasn't he? He came out of Scotland, didn't he?
Yeah.
What did you make it on?
Because I left, I think, in the January to go to Man City, and so Shearer became the manager, I think, maybe, don't quote me here, but maybe March, February, March time. And obviously I was gone at that stage, but I think that the fallout came towards the last couple of games, because obviously Newcastle were fighting relegation to stay up. And I think Alan had an issue, because I think the physio said he was fit. Michael says he wasn't fit. And obviously Alan's the manager, he's in the middle. Like, so he felt that Michael could have played, even if he was carrying something. And I think Michael's contract might have been up that summer as well. So Alan was kind of thinking, I think he's just protecting himself and not... Do you know what I mean? So they had a bit of a fallout. I think that was the main thing, I think.
Yeah. And then your favourite manager of all time comes in, Big Sam Allen, Big Sam.
You found love in a hopeless place. Remember that dancing?
He's dancing at the wedding, but they were put the line. That was brilliant. You said he used to do that in the dressing room.
Yeah, he was same John as fun. John Barnes funny, Sam. I mean, he wasn't there long, was he? Only there, was it 6 or 8 months or something?
What is he like, Sam Allen, like, in terms of...
He came in with a load of staff, actually. I do remember, because we talk about sports science and all that. He was one of the first managers, and you think, oh, he's about old school, Big Sam, this and Big Sam. But he actually came in with... like extra physios, masseurs, all these different people, sports science. He was really trying to, you know, everyone has it now at their club. Like, so you could say he was ahead of the game, you know what I mean? But
what are you laughing at?
What, trendsetter?
You just imagine him getting a chippy ordered in a training ground every day.
I remember walking off at Goodison Park one, like the bus, because the fans are quite, you know, the Scousers can be quite humorous, right? Yeah. Sam gets off first, like he's had quite a big head, like.
Hey, fucking hell, Sam. Some head you got on your shoulders there, lad.
And we're like walking behind him, like thinking, oh, you can't say that's the gaffer, like, you know what I mean?
That's a real man.
What did Sam say?
He just
gets a chipping.
Yeah. Raging. I think it was Mike. So Mike asked him in, didn't he? And then he sacked him, didn't he? He was only in charge that not that long, you know. But
is that true? He puts heart rate monitors on the boys, and if you didn't run a certain distance training, you're out again in the afternoon.
I'm not sure. As I say, I can't really remember back that. But he was mad into the sports science and he had a lot of staff around him, and people said, why do you need all these staff for? But now every club sort of has that amount of staff, you know, so you've got to give him credit for that.
One of the most baffling appointments I've ever seen in world football. I remember sitting and it comes across about Joe Kinnear appointed as the Newcastle man.
But Keegan was there as well, wasn't he?
I think Keegan was there first.
Yeah, Joe Kinnear came in after. Was it Keegan, was it? There's a lot of managers in Newcastle in my time, lads.
Yeah,
how was that? I think I was the common denominator. Can't even say it, common denominator.
How was that? How were they two, mate?
Kinnear must have been old school.
Kinnear, obviously, I fell from him because he was out of the game, I think, for 10 years or something, right? So I think it was John Carver made this announcement, got the sheet out like this. Right, lads. All the players and staff and all in the room. Like, imagine we're all waiting, who's it going to be now? Like? We just lost Kevin Keegan and, like, obviously, they'll be hauled up before that. And right, lads, it's got a club statement here from up above. Kept a straight face, like, and the new manager's going to be Joe Kinnear. And, like, let's just, like, definitely say it. It's like, I think it was Steve Harper says, you mean it's a fucking joke in here?
It's a joke.
That's the big thing of Steve Harper. Can I get a Steve Harper?
Well, I shot that. I shot that.
That was a shout, like, it's a joke in here. Are you serious? No, it's Joe Kinnear. No way. And it was like... And I speak bad about Joe Kinnear, but he was out of the game for so long.
Yeah, it was just such a shock.
And then it was just like so random out of the blue, like, you know.
How was it?
Yeah, it was different, like. Gone and he's gone.
Did he dance to that?
Oh, lads.
Oh, I think David Duff said he said the words were old school, innit?
Yeah, yeah, he liked the swear word, I think. I mean, I swear as well, so I can't really say that's bad, but. Some of his team meetings were eventful.
Was this what?
No, just.
Oh, because he got Nzogbia's name wrong, didn't he, in an interview?
Yeah, Insomnia. I think somebody counted his swear words once. It was like 52 swear words in one team meeting or something. Something random like that.
Was all this building up for you though? See, when you eventually come to leave, you thinking like,
yeah,
what's happening?
Yeah,
the club?
I mean the Mike Ashley thing. Obviously, Freddie Shepherd and Douglas Hall, they were Newcastle through and through, like, and they pushed the boat out. And yeah, they maybe got some debt to the club, but they had money to back it and whatever, you know what I mean? And they're really ambitious and they wanted, I mean, Alan Shearer's record, so you talk about Michael Owen coming in, all these players, like, were to try and challenge the, you know, the top clubs. And then obviously Mike Ashley came in and it was more like a business to him. It was more just sort of, and it's not changed really since, to be honest. It's more about, you know, staying in the Premier League, not really ambitious to win anything, not want to challenge the top of the league. And that's talking about the fans, it's so frustrating for the Newcastle fans, and you feel sorry for them. Gallon mentioned, Jerry mentioned already, he made match of the day.
It's
copy and paste every year. It's just like there's no ambition at the club. So that's the sad thing about it, really.
Yeah.
And then Man City, mate.
Mm.
When who was the manager then?
Mark Hughes. Mark Hughes.
Did he speak to you?
Yeah, I think it was an agent or my solicitor at the time spoke to the club and knew there was interest, like, you know. And again, it was coming down to the transfer deadline on January 31st or whatever it was, or maybe even the 1st of February. It was extended by a day or something, but like Newcastle and were holding out for whatever X amount of money. And the frustrating thing for me from the Newcastle point of view was again, back to the Mike Ashley thing, I only met him, I think, once, and it was that week before I left, and he was like, we're going to give you a new contract, want you to stay. I says, okay, what's the offer? I said, actually, I don't want to speak about it. My solicitor was in and says, Michael, you speak to him. I don't really like talking about money in front of people and all that. So I went out to the car and Michael was like about 30 seconds after me. He goes, you'll not be staying there. I says, what do you mean? He goes, oh, they wanted to extend your contract, but they didn't want to give you any more money. Basically. And that sounds like when you cast a fan watching, oh, he's just a greedy, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you'd like to think you'd be, because there were loads of players at the club who were on a lot more money than me at the time. And I was there like nearly 12 years and you would think you'd be
rewarded.
Doesn't have to be loads of water, but at least get a bit of a lift up.
But
like, you know,
keep your eye, make a statement.
But I think it was a game by him. And then they'll come down to the transfer deadline day. It was like, well, you're not leaving unless you ask for a transfer request. And the thing is, there was a 10% sell on fee for me. I think it was like 7 million or something went in. So I was like, had he signed this document, they say I was wavering like 700 grand or whatever.
Oh, so you sacrificed 700 grand to go to Man City?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But like he had a gun to me. But then the media the next day was like, given us for a transfer request, there's nothing we could do to keep him. But that was purely a financial thing for him. But he saved the money, like, you know.
I wanted to
and
ask,
that was frustrating, the way to leave the club, because I was there so long, you know what I mean?
Done at the club.
Quite angry about it.
You should have left on good terms.
Yeah,
just
to thank them and all that. And it wasn't a nice way to leave, you know, but.
I wanted to ask you, see, when you first signed for Man City, could you see them being where they are now when you first signed? Did they plan that? Did they put that to you, this is where we are going to be in, say, 10 years' time?
Well, yeah, they did say that this is our ambition. And the thing is, you know, you're always a bit, not sceptical, but loads of other owners in the past have said that. And then, you know, they've gone, as was it Hicks and Gillette at Liverpool?
Yeah.
Do this, and then they've gone a few years, you know what I mean? So, but what you have to give Sheikh Mansour and Cal Doon especially, because, you know, Cal Doon's the chairman, and he was one of the first guys I met, and he was like, you know, I really got involved, I wanted you to come to this club, really want to grow the club, and we want to be challenging for the Premier League and European, we want everything, like, you know.
Did you go to their house, sorry?
No, it was just at the club, you know.
Did you ever get a chance to go there, nah?
Nah, I don't think it was a bit. I've been to Abu Dhabi for a couple of club sort of things, but I've not been to the Palace or anything like that, like, you know. But, and the good thing about the Man City thing is they've stuck by their word.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Look at them now. Look where they've come from. Look what they've done to the city of Manchester. You know, the training, I don't know if you've been, but the training ground and the stadium and the whole, like, the infrastructure is unbelievable. Like, so you have to give them great credit for by actually saying it from day one, but actually going through it. Like,
I mean, you've obviously showed great loyalty in your whole career, but do you think at the stage in your career, it was probably maybe your last chance to go and win something? When you went to Man City?
Yeah. I mean, again, go back to Newcastle. So Newcastle are selling the best players. I think it's the old Milner just before and all the other players, and they're bringing in free transfers. And there was literally zero ambition for the club to go and challenge again. And then the likes of Man City, who the previous one to just sign Robinho, they want to sign you. Do you know what I mean? They're the club that's wanting to challenge the top boys, you know. And to be part of that was, they could have signed any goalkeeper in the world, let's be honest. They could have went and got anybody.
Did you get a bit of backlash for Newcastle fans?
Yeah, a little bit. I think a lot of them are supportive and understanding, but you still get a percentage of ones who'd like be not happy with you, you know, and that's because they've got the best interest of that club with that.
Yeah,
really.
And I you do feel for them because
they're amazing. The fans are amazing.
So much,
actually, kind of, Newcastle fans kind of remind me of like your Celtic Rangers,
working class types. You
know? Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That season, Newcastle get relegated.
Yeah.
Was that hard to watch it?
It was, it was, and then some fans blame me for that.
That's
as well.
Are you thinking that the whole time I'm going to get the blame for this while it's happening?
Well, not really as such, but it's like, you know, people say, oh, you've been there for the last couple of years, they've been struggling, and you've stayed, and the club's not showing so any ambition to strengthen and stuff, you know what I mean? And I just, you can't take everything, you know, you got to go with how you feel, and as I say, it was a great opportunity to go to a club with that ambition, really.
What was this? Was it,
but
was
I didn't want you guys to get relegated, of course. No, I didn't ask. It was gutting, like,
Was it a step up in standard in terms of training and...
Yeah, I mean, there was a real buzz about Man City at the time. There was a talk of everyone was talking about them, not just in this country, but around the world, like, because they were, as I say, Robinho just joined, and in every window they were linked with all these brilliant players, you know, and signing the likes of, I don't know, Adebayor, Patrick Vieira, all these players were coming in.
And who stood out straight away when you first went in the train?
Who was there? Vinnie Kompany was there. Obviously, Vincent Kompany, Nigel de Jong. I mean, the likes of Wayne Bridge, Sean Wright Phillips.
Yeah.
Some big players there already, like, you know. Oh,
Kompany's a monster, isn't he?
Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah, great guy, yeah. And he was, I think he was only young, maybe. He might have been like 22, but he was like a real leader even then, like, yeah. You know, and he was... No, he's a good guy. I like him a lot.
He's got Sam Allardyce's head, don't he? That's
what he's massive,
yeah,
isn't
massive,
it?
Yeah.
Who else is that Man City team?
Was Elano there?
Elano was there, yeah.
Oh, mate, I loved Elano.
He's the year before he scored, I don't know if you remember, but he scored an absolute screamer.
Screamer?
Against me, was that at Newcastle? It was keeper side as well. Just, people look at him and goes, keeper side, man. I was like, have you fucking seen it? Something about 100 miles an hour, and I was like, went about seven different directions. And then the last second, ended up right in the top bin, like. It was like, well, you know, and again, like, Sky Sports thought they'd use it for the next advert for the next Premier League season.
That's what I remember.
Me waving at my family in the crowd. Like. I must have made one save last year too. They could have used that.
Who is it at Sky Sports has got to interview? It's John Barnes, isn't it?
I don't know, it must be.
Barnes's picking
me. Barnes and Rushy behind the Dr. Evil.
All right, we need to know about Rubinho.
Hi, Rubinho. What was he like on and off the pitch?
It was mad, like, because obviously you come from Real Madrid, he's spent record fee, 30-something million for him, whatever it was, you know. And he was really skillful. I mean, I just wish we could have got a bit more out of him, like, you know. I felt like he was a bit, I don't know, maybe it's just a Brazilian way, but a wee bit too laid back, if you know what I mean. Not too laid back, but he was just a bit like, he had so much skills and ability, yeah, and stuff, you know. At games, he would turn it on sometimes, and in other games, he wouldn't.
Go missing a wee bit.
A little bit go missing. Yeah. And you think, we know you're a brilliant player, like, you just got to get more involved, you know. But, nah, he was.
Yeah. Like your nightlife?
Yeah, I think there was a Brazilian, there was Joe the striker, remember him?
Yeah, Elano. I like Joe, by the way.
Elano, obviously Rubinho, so it was a bit of a Brazilian contingent, and they...
You went and got a Brazilian because...
We should have done that. I'm dried up now, you want to see me, jeans are all dry now.
would you sit and speak to him now? Would you not be the type you could sit and speak to? Do you speak English now?
His English wasn't great now. Probably said the same about me. Like, but.
That must be tough for Mark Hughes trying to manage and translate.
Yeah, yeah. But he had a translator and stuff, like, and he did learn it, to be fair. It wasn't that
bad. Was he always there? Did he always turn up?
Yeah, he was always there, yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. Any funny guys at Man City? Nah. See, when you get to that level, I can imagine he was just quite professional. Isn't it?
Not really, no. I think we had a good group. Like, so Tevez came and stuff.
Wow.
You know, there was some big player. David Silva was there.
Oh, was he the best?
Silva was good, yeah.
So people say, I've seen somebody say that Tevez just doesn't try a leg in training when it comes to games. He's brilliant.
Funny in training, like, it was just like, did a shooting session, kicking over the bar and just walking back and stuff. And you see, I think it was a Mancini at the time. You go, what the God, so like all this Italian stuff. Like, but then in the match day, man, he was just phenomenal. Literally saved all his energies for the games, like, and he was brilliant.
He must be some player though, if you can just turn it on.
Yeah,
don't need to try and train.
Who was the best player you played in that Man City?
Played
with.
I mean, at the first one, to Stephen Ireland was man of the match.
I went to Stephen Ireland.
Talk about Rubinho. You talk about Rubinho. It was like, man of the match today, that they had is Stephen Ireland. He was like just standing every week, kind of thing.
Just
like,
press,
you know,
play, Stephen Ireland.
But he was good. Like, I mean, Sean Wright Phillips was good at the time.
He's brilliant, Sean.
But Tevez was different levels, I felt. He was top player.
Was Ireland.
Silva was just magical. Like.
Was Ireland funny? Because he's done a few, like, mad stuff.
Remember
his
big Jeep or something? Had a pink Jeep.
Yeah. He got some random cars. Like,
was he a bit crazy?
Pink wheels and stuff, and pink steering wheels and all that. Yeah, he's a bit out there, to be fair. But he's a good lad.
When we talk about it.
I hate bringing this up.
I know.
I think you could start
crying. My taxi's outside, yeah.
This is I hate this, eh? Thierry Henry.
The handball.
Fucking hell. We're in London as well, it could be fucking...
Have you seen him? Would you say something?
Yeah. No, I better not say that.
Was that the angriest you'd be on a football pitch?
Yeah, I mean, look back at the pictures and, like, it was just it just felt like an injustice. It was just like... I was like, obviously, that close. I was one of the closest to it. It was so blatant. I was just like, oh, yeah, it's fucking handball. It's a yellow card because it's so blatant.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I've looked around and the ref's pointed to the centre circle and the linesman's running away, you know, like, for a goal. Is he going there? Funny to be like flagging, like, for, because he stopped it with his arm and then he pulled it in with his hand as well. It was like a double handball, like, you know. Couldn't believe it. Like, as fast as I ever moved on a football pitch, it was after the referee. I swear to God, it's unbelievable.
Man, I remember that was horrible, wasn't it?
And we thought then there was going to be like maybe a replay or something. It was like a lot of people. It wasn't, to be fair, it was big news around the world. It wasn't just like in Ireland and
yeah,
France.
It was everywhere.
Big news everywhere, like, you know.
Seeing the changing room, what was it like?
It was just,
was a lot of arguing or was there mere quietness? And
it was a little bit like, I think it was more quietness and but shock really or what had just happened. You know, we probably played the best we've nearly played in the Irish out the whole team that night. And we felt like we, because the first night in Dublin when they beat us 1-0, we thought we didn't do ourselves justice. And then the next game we thought we're just going to go for it, like, and we did. And we felt like that we just got robbed, you know, at the end.
Seeing that instance, what do you think should happen? So obviously the
VAR is different now, so VAR would pick that up now.
See, before then, should have done a replay?
Looking back, I don't know. You probably can't because it's the rules and the laws of football, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Referee can make mistakes.
But it's horrible to think that a nation's no qualifying because of such
But you think, like, even by all the players' reaction, it's just human reaction. The referee
you can tell.
They must be thinking, they could even get word to the fourth official, like, what's happened there? Can you try and...
Yeah.
Because we were chatting for a long time before it started over again, you
know? Did them to try get to on me?
I just remember Dunny sitting next to at the end of the pitch that they were sitting down just chatting at the end. It was just a weird situation.
He was saying him a bit of vodka, desperate for a vodka.
He's a pint of vodka then. Big Dunny, would you? I don't know. It was just a weird one. Like, it was just... it was hard to take after, like, for weeks and months and even years after, you think. Because I don't know if you remember, they went to, it was in South Africa, wasn't it? They fell apart, remember?
The
whole team were arguing and the fitness coach chucked his whistle over the hedge and they stormed off. It was just like karma. People say karma sometimes in life. It was a little bit of bad karma going there, I think.
Your other major tournament, 2012, Duff said that Trapattoni was a legend.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's talk about coaching and people in the game. You think Trapattoni, he's got to be up there, like, you know.
Yeah. Aidan said as well that he would sometimes get a few boys' names wrong.
Yeah. I mean, his English wasn't great, and that's the probably thing I felt from him a little bit, because he's obviously an elderly man as well, so he's kind of like trying to get his message across, and he would turn into a little bit Italian at times and stuff, you know. And sometimes the press in Ireland sort of gave him a bit of stick about that, because his communication wasn't perfect, like, but if you try and speak Italian over in Milan or somewhere,
he'd be struggling.
It'd be difficult, like, you know, but yeah, he was very, very focused on how we should set up as a team and how we should play and stuff, and didn't, again, I suppose, go back to the Italian mentality, didn't think we were too good on the ball to keep it that much, and we'd be more direct and try and keep it, be more solid without the ball, you know.
Italians love the old tactics, didn't they?
Yeah, they love the 1-0, like.
Yeah. See, that's the summer of 2009. You've said Tevez comes in at Adebayor, Toure, Silvinho, Vieira. Was it set out that you were out to win the Premier League? Was that your aim start of that season?
I think when you're starting to bring that sort of calibre of players in, then you want to be up challenging, yeah. But again, there was no, like, from the top, there was no, like, it was kind of like, again, building blocks to try and compete, because it doesn't happen overnight. I know that there's a lot of money spent there and then players coming in, but they knew it wasn't going to happen overnight, and there was a lot of patience as well.
Did you have a feeling if results weren't going to go right, that Mark Hughes could be sacked?
It was a strange one. I can't remember the game now, but we woke up Saturday morning and it was all over the papers that this is his last game, no matter if they won, lose or draw. And it was like, I don't know, like, obviously someone from the club must have leaked that out or something.
John Barnes on it.
Barnes again. Bath, snorkel on. Getting sacked after the game. No, but it was a strange atmosphere that day, because the game was, we were preparing for the game, and obviously Mark Hughes thinks he's getting sacked that day. He doesn't know where it's come from. And I think me and, it was a Colo Touré, mate, got took up to the boardroom after the game, says, yeah, he's getting sacked, whatever, like, you know. Yeah.
What was Colo Touré like?
You know, yeah, good guy.
He's a coach at Celtic. We interviewed him. He's seems like a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy, yeah. Turned up at his 30th birthday. We had a birthday party, and I think it was Russell in town in Manchester. And I turned up with, like, a bottle of champagne, a card, like, nobody else turned up with nothing. Oh, I cannot take this. I'm Muslim. I can't take this. This is against my religion. So fucking, at least I brought something, nobody else. Do you know what I mean? Because you keep it, I was like, can alcohol. You think like you're trying to do something good. I didn't know he was Muslim or whatever. I was like, against his religion, but typical Irishman.
Was it harsh, not accused getting sacked?
Yeah, for me personally, I would have liked him seen given an R season
Sparky.
Or so. Yeah.
Gelatin, wasn't he?
Sparky, yeah. No, but I would have liked to give him some bit more time, like, and he wasn't, of course, and maybe at that stage when he's playing them likes the players, they thought we need to be doing better, maybe.
What is Mark Hughes like? Because, like, walking in, he doesn't seem like he's got much effort. No, he doesn't. He seems like quite dry.
He's quite quiet.
Yeah.
But no, he can blow his top as well, like, you know. I think he's quite calculated, yeah.
Did he ever blow his top, yeah?
Sure. I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
But he has done a few of the old players, like, but... No, I think he is, yeah, I know what you're saying, he's calm, like, but at the same time, I think that's how he likes to manage, if you know what I mean. Like, everyone's different, you know.
Yeah.
He'd be ranting and raving, people turn off as well. Do you know what I mean? It's just getting I think it's getting the balance right, isn't
it? Jim, see, I know this is hard to say, but Jinky could have been a manager that could have went and won a league with it.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, why not? I mean, the Mancini thing came in then, and it was just a bit, again, going back to, obviously, Mark Hughes signed you then, so he sacked it. So then again, as a player now, I'm thinking, what's this guy going to be like, you know?
And what was he like when he first came in with you, especially?
He was all right. I played well under him, I felt. After one of the games, he's one of the top five goalkeepers in the world. Like, I was just like, oh, this is positive. Like, this is good news. And then in the summer, he brought Joe Hart back from Birmingham and never kicked the ball again, basically, you know?
What, was there any indication?
Yeah, I just gave him a shoulder at Arsenal about 3 or 4 weeks to go. And he didn't think I was going to be fit enough for the start of the season, and I was fit. And then he didn't, like, play me any of the friendlies or nothing. And I think we played Oxford. We had Oxford in the League Cup or something in the early part of the season. And Joe played in that, and they made, like, 10 outfield changes or something. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, so anyway, he wanted me. I don't know why. Like, I don't know if he felt there was a big personality in the changing room, or if it was... I mean, I've never really been a person to go around bad-mouthing managers or coaches or whatever, like, you know, but he just wanted me out the door, like, so I just had to take it on the chin, basically, and wanted to... had to go.
What was a young Joe Hart like to work with?
Yeah, he was good, yeah. So when I first went to City, he was there with Casper Schmeichel's mad now looking at the careers they both had, like, you know. So Casper was there and Joe Hart, like, you know. So
are they similar ages, Casper's?
I think
older, is he now?
Very similar, you know. I think they're very similar, yeah. Casper might be a year younger, but...
Who at that age was the one that you thought would go on to be?
I didn't really know, to be honest. I mean, Joe obviously was playing before I went in, and then felt a bit bad because I came in and I played straight away the first game. And he was like, what's going on? I said, well, I don't know. They wanted to sign me, so I've come and blah, blah, blah. You know, I think Mark wanted me to sort of obviously play, but then help Joe as well because he was still young, and Casper was young as well. So, you know, using experienced goalkeeper, he'd bring them two on.
Mancini, though. What, in 98 Euros, he was...
unbelievable. We called it, though, didn't we? We thought, fair and early, Italy will be very close because... you look at, he probably was the best manager in the tournament. Do you think so, experience-wise?
I don't have a lot of time for him, like, so I just think...
Why, just because he never gave you that respect?
No, not pure for me, because just there was no reason about me, but then the whole thing at Man City, he fell out with everybody at Man City. Like the kit man, the bus driver, the chefs.
Why, just because he thought they all weren't good enough at their jobs?
I don't know why, he just had that sort of... to this day, I don't understand why he fell out with everybody. I mean, I was gone from the club when he got sacked himself, but... at the end, I think the players went to the board as this can't continue because he's just...
How's he intense in training? Is that...
I don't know. He just had argue with everybody. I don't think he was that intense, over the top intense. I just wanted to fight with everybody all the time. And you think, like, as a team, as a group of people, we're all trying to achieve the same thing. And it felt like he was...
going against it.
Going against everything. And I don't know if that's his, the way he manages, yeah, he or that's it. The way he gets the best out of people. I don't know. I've just never seen it before.
Was Balotelli then?
He was, eh?
What was he like?
Yeah, they had a big scrap one day, didn't they? Him and Mancini in the pitch.
Remember the one who tried to score the back heeler?
Oh, that's right.
That was after me, but they had a...
What happened to the one you were at?
Yeah, they had a bit of a scrap on the pitch. They were grabbing each other around the neck and stuff. Had to be separated, didn't they?
What?
Yeah, I don't know. They were shouting back and forth in Italian, so I don't know exactly what Mario said, like, but...
What was Balotelli like every day in training?
Yeah, he's funny.
Would he do mad stuff?
He's mad, yeah.
What, with the fireworks and stuff like that?
Yeah, he would, night out, he'd be, like, bouncing ice cubes off your head and that. They'd be, like, just like a kid. Like, he just never grew up type thing.
Could he have went...
I think so, yeah. If he had been more, I suppose, dedicated. Maybe that's what Mancini was trying to get at him, trying to push him a bit more. Like, he was a brilliant finisher. Like, some of the... reminded me a little bit of Alan Shearer, the way he struck a ball. It was
really,
like a rocket, like, you know. He could finish, like... But he just... I think there was more to give, and he maybe just didn't push himself enough. Do you know that kind of way? Like,
Who was he tight with, Balotelli? Who would he hang about with?
I can't remember now. A few of the... maybe the foreign lads. I don't know. I can't actually remember now. Even Mika Richards might have been...
Mika Richards, tight, bit, like, I think I've heard him speaking of
But no, you know, he was just a daft lad. He was just always messing and carrying on and stuff, like, you know, and... I think the lads knew he had ability, but he just didn't seem to want to push himself, you know? And you can sort his career's going a wee bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one in pre-season when he tries the
ball. Oh, yeah, I know.
But you're taking him half right away there.
And then he was arguing, wasn't he, with the manager? You haven't got an argument at that point, have you, sure?
Did he argue with boys as well, or was it just me and the manager that used to kind of...
Yeah, more or less the manager, yeah.
So who's your hardest player ever played against?
Hardest player ever played against?
But that's good. No, like, a striker shooting at you, but just overall, what you're playing against, you're like, wow, he's unbelievable.
I mean, Henri back in the day was, he'd done the handball, like, but back in the day in his prime, he was it was just like, you knew it was coming and you still could just bend it around you, wouldn't it? Like, but I was looking at the play with Messi, against Messi and Ronaldo and the likes. I think we'll probably look back in 20 years and look at them two and go, like, we look now, but like, we could say Maradona rest in peace, whatever. But Pelé, you know, he's still. But them two, you look back and go, they were amazing players, weren't they? Still now, we're talking about 30 years, 40 years later. I think in 30 years' time, we'll be talking about Messi and Ronaldo.
100%.
So to share a pitch with them, like, it was like pretty good. Like,
although it's not happened, they'll still find the goal that Messi scored against you, won't it?
Messi didn't score with me, did he?
No, but they're so super important.
Oh, no, they're fine. I think he's only keeper he didn't score. That's why he never showed a Messi goal, but Ronaldo made up for it.
And then Villa, Borough and Stoke last few years.
Yeah.
How about those experiences?
Yeah. Yeah, Villa was a bit disappointing because I went there. No, I took a, it was a random, so I took a waistcoat again. I want to get away from Man City. Not because I didn't like the club, but because the manager didn't want to play me. I wanted to play football. You know, I'd done everything to get out. Took a massive waistcoat to go there to play. And then a year later, Paul Lambert came and said, we need to cut the wage bill. Because they were like, Randy Lerner was cutting everything back. But no one told me that the year before. Like, they were told we're still challenging stuff.
Right.
So they wanted me out then. So it was a bit like, I was there. I felt I could have played more, but not given the opportunity. They wanted to try and get me out the door type thing, you know. And then the last couple of years, obviously, was Stoke and on loan Middlesbrough. So it was more like you're going then sort of as backup, really, as such. And
not, who was, you know, Stoke manager?
Mark Hughes.
Oh, Mark Hughes took you
So I went loan to Middlesbrough.
Who was that under?
Aitor Karanka was there.
Oh.
Yeah. He was all right, actually, yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
What a career, mate.
Unbelievable, mate. Jaw-dropping stuff, innit?
That is. Great to hear some of the names.
But the best thing for me, mate, is the type of guy he is.
What a guy, hero.
For being what you've made in the game.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I've never changed. Like, I know people say, like, oh, you're doing this and you're doing that and you've done that, but I'm just the same. Even when I play, like, I still go to the shop and get the dinner for the family. And, you know, some people, like, do the meet. You know, some people don't even open a letter at home. Like, some players, you know, don't.
Still.
Huh?
Still run Barnsley
still runs
back.
Still run the Barnsley back. He wants four ducks in, not three.
But in Derby as well, with Rooney. Huh? How did that come about with Rooney? Did Rooney give you a phone or?
No, it was Frank Lampard brought me into Derby.
Oh, was it Lampard? Yeah. How did that come about then? Yeah, did you play with him? You never played with him, did you?
No, just a random phone call, yeah, just out of the blue, really. So he wanted me to come be part of his coaching team and all that. So, yeah, I went to Derby, obviously. I was doing the media, a little bit of media stuff at the time, and I was enjoying that, actually, to be fair. And then I thought, it's an opportunity, like, you know, if maybe Frank one day goes to Chelsea and I might go there too.
And he patched you?
Didn't bring me.
So went well, didn't I?
Was he a good manager, Frank Lampard?
No, I liked him. I liked him. He was a good manager. I mean, the biggest thing I think he done at Derby was that he brought some really good players in, like loan players especially. Like Fikai Tomori came in, Mason Mount, and Harry Wilson. So them three were probably our three best players that season, you know, and we got to the playoff final and stuff. We just missed out, obviously, to Villa in the final, but we were really close, like, you know. But then now, since that, the club was just... Is again, it's a financial thing, but the owner wants out, as well documented, as you can probably say in the press and stuff, but they're a bit on their knees at the minute. Like, you know, with embargoes and stuff, you know, it's a bit of a mess at the minute off the pitch.
What's Rooney like as a guy?
Yeah, good, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So you ever put that goal up against you in a meeting?
Yeah, when he's first signed, like, they put it on the bleeding social media.
On the Twitter?
Yeah. It's like, I made a save once against him too, like, you know what I mean? Again, I just keep in mind I made a save once, but I never see it in any reel ever. What? Does kids never want to watch keepers make saves, no? Is that not part of the...
They're not part of the game, I know. No. But did Rooney join in training?
Yeah, we're still playing.
Yeah. He smashed somebody.
Philip Kopke came in and he was the manager, so Wayne was still playing then. And then obviously he got sacked and then Wayne took over the manager's job, you know, but... Yeah, I mean, he's obviously been a great player. And like, you know, it's just a difficult one now to manage that club in a sense with all the stuff off the pitch at the minute. You know, it's a tough job.
Do you want to stay in coaching?
I don't know. I left now in the summer in the last few months, like, obviously doing things like this for you guys, media stuff. Spent a lot more time with family, playing golf, played Loch Lomond last week, you know, all these different things that I haven't done because I've been busy with football. I'm thinking about going away half term with the family that I haven't done for 30 years. Do you know what I mean? It's always football around it, like, you know. So part of me thinks, you know, this is I'm really enjoying this, you know. But then part of me misses the everyday stuff, you know. So it's difficult balance, you know.
Are you pals with any other celebrities outside football?
Celebrities? Why?
McIlroy. Just what a golfer said.
McIlroy. I played in the McIlroy's, the Irish Open about 3 years ago, actually. It was up in Donegal, where I'm from.
Wow.
Quite a friend of mine, Niall Horan, who's...
He's a big Derby fan, that's right.
Yeah, Derby fan. But I played about a month ago. He had a... Big golf term, he owns his own golfing sort of agency now, yeah.
Slow hands, like
that. Well, that's so bad. Bent hands, but slow hands.
Shame, yeah. What a guy.